What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Flagrant 2. No easy buckets, analysis by assholes, water cooler commentary for your sports needs. I am Andrew Schultz. I'm here for Akash Singh.
Yeah.
Kaz is en route, but we had to start because I got to go to a basketball game. I got my shit.
My man is committed to these basketball games, bro. Dog. He treats us like he gets paid.
I do.
Yo, you are never late.
I get paid emotionally, son.
Real talk, you're like, yo, I cannot... Fuck, Cass is like, yeah. Cass like has meetings for the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And Andrew's like, yo, man, you got to move that shit because I got a pickup game.
Hurry up,
where
feeder.
We wear jerseys.
Yeah, I got, I mean, there's refs, B.
Yo, like, it's a fucking professionals league.
Son.
It's a bunch of people making six figures.
That's a lot.
Doing other things who are like, let's play basketball for fun.
No, absolutely.
It's adult recess.
It's adult recess. Everything that you're saying is absolutely right.
I know.
And it's the most important part of my week.
Well, listen, to your point.
The most important part of my week.
To your point.
Yeah.
What do kids look forward to in school?
Recess.
It's the only time they don't want to cut down.
Yeah, absolutely. This is what I have. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. This is my outlet. There's one thing that I get to do throughout the week that isn't, you know, work related. I get a release. I just want to let you know, I'm leaving early, not so I could make the game just barely. So I could get my stretches in, so I could run around the gym, so I could do layup lines. I want to put up at least 50 shots from different parts of the court. Like, I hoard a basketball. I bring my own basketball. My basketball's in my bag right there.
You don't shoot with anybody?
First of all, I get my dribbles in. I got to get my dribbles in. I try to not shoot.
You really
shoot with
Steph Curry this.
Bro, I don't play. If it was up to me, they wouldn't touch my basketball, but I reluctantly pass them if I miss and the whole thing. But I need repetition constantly
to stay
in the game.
Right.
So that's why I'm going to do it. Listen, this is very important to me. What do you have outside of this? You have stand up, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
You have fighting with your girlfriend. You have
that's a good one.
Yeah, and calling and talking to your mom on the phone. My mom doesn't call me, so I have basketball. You know what I mean?
Man, my mom calls me every day, and it's gotten to the point where if she doesn't call me, I'm like, who the fuck does she think she is?
Did my mom die?
I get worried, and then I call her like, I was worried sick about you.
Son, when my mom texts me, I get worried sick. The first thing I think is, what happened to dad? Is dad okay? Everything's good with dad? I literally got a text that was touching right now. My mom just texted me. I didn't even read the whole one. What a piece of shit I am. We have not seen you in a long time. We miss you. Any chance of getting together soon? We understand you're terribly busy, so don't feel guilty. We love you and miss you, mom and dad. Oh, that shit was beautiful.
That's amazing,
bro.
Man. That's amazing. Yo, that Alex called over from the computer. You sound like a shitty ass son.
Yo,
this is white people, though,
I'm
man.
I'm calling my mom. Right
white
now,
people's bro. Relationship with their put her on speaker. His mom is hysterical.
It's not all because Italians and like Jews, they have like a really special relationship. You know what I mean? But like Scottish moms, they're a little different. Mom. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. All of a sudden, my phone's working.
Well,
it
listen,
wasn't working yesterday.
It wasn't working yesterday. Well, look, I'm recording the sports podcast right now, and the guys were ripping me because they said I wasn't being a good son and I was neglecting you guys, and I just wanted to tell you I love you and you inspire me, and I think that you're amazing, and I wish that you called me more.
Hey, Mrs. Cameron, this is Akash, by the way.
Mom?
She hung up on you,
dog. Well, that's my relationship with my mom. That's our relationship in a nutshell right there.
She hung up on you, fam. Oh, my God.
She's like,
oh my
son.
God. Listen, if I'm ever hard on these hoes, y'all know why. It ain't my fault.
Oh, that's the realest thing he's ever said. That's the realest thing he's ever said.
God damn.
Oh, my God.
I tried, Ma. I tried.
Oh, my God.
I hope you're all right, Ma. God. You know, my mom's phone probably on 1%. Look at me making excuses for it. She's like, sorry, son. Was just rewatching the news. did you say rewatching? Yeah, we saw it, but I wanted to see it again because that was more interesting than talking to you about your podcast.
Oh, man. My mom, you've read my mom literally.
Your mom calls me more than my mom calls me.
Yo, my mom is kind of tight at you. She sent you a Christmas text, didn't get a text back, and she was like, I don't know what I did to Andrew.
Son, you want to know some real shit?
Yeah.
I got your mom's text.
Right.
No, there's a reason for this.
You a shitty son to two moms.
No, there's a reason for this. There's a reason for it. It's me. It's really me. It's really me.
It's, I'm glad you got fucked in the ass on There's Johnny.
I paid for it.
Yo.
So, look, there was something exactly that happened. No, I was having like a really bad Christmas day.
Really?
It was like a dark, dark Christmas.
Mm.
And I don't think I was responding to anybody. And like, I didn't even get my family gifts and shit. Like, I came back the next day and it was better. And I, you know, but it was dark. And it was, and I remember getting her text and I didn't know the number because I didn't have your mom's phone saved.
Okay. Problem number one.
Can't be putting your mom's name in my phone, son. That's disrespectful.
It's not.
I'm supposed to put her in with all the other shorties, bro.
Is your mom in your phone book?
No. How am I disrespecting my mom? I put it in as Larry's piece.
No. Your ex is in my phone, still in my phone as Andrew's wifey. I should just delete it at this point. Yeah, just delete it at this point.
But no. In all seriousness, fuck. What was your mom? I can't tell you the exact number, but it's damn, man, I felt bad about that. Is it what?
It's 469 area code.
It's a 469. Yeah, I knew. Fuck, man, I feel bad about that. I'm sorry.
She was sad.
I know. But I was like,
I'll talk to him. She's like, no, don't.
Tell me I'm not. Oh, my God. But look,
Read the message.
She said, wish you a very happy new year. But she also wished me a happy Christmas. And I respond, I'm calling her.
She texted you on New Year's, dog?
I'm calling her.
What's going on? Put this on speaker. Put this on speaker.
I'm calling her. Are you saying mom again in Hindi?
Amma.
Amma. Yeah.
That's how we say it, at least.
How are you, mister?
Hey, this is Andrew. I'm doing a podcast right now with your son, Akash. And I just wanted to call and say I'm incredibly sorry for not getting back to you. That is so disrespectful and so rude. I apologize.
Oh, no, not at all. I just wanted to see you're doing okay.
Yeah, no. What? Say that again?
I said, not at all. I'm happy you called.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I was having a really bad Christmas. I was feeling pretty down, I think, on Christmas, and I think that's why I didn't get back to you. Now, New Year's, I have no excuse. So I'm sorry about that. But I'm really so grateful that you reached out. Thank you so much. I'm so sorry about that.
Oh, you're welcome. And have good luck in life. You are the best person my son can be around. He always talks highly of you.
Aww. That's really nice. Okay. He was just making fun of me for a homosexual scene in a TV show that I did. But I do trust that what he says to you is true. I do.
No, he has a lot of, he brags about you a lot.
I do. I do.
Well, just know I do the exact same about him when he's not around. Never to his face. I would never give him that glory. Yeah. But
you're not supposed to tell him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, I just wanted to say thank you so much. I love you
thank
and I hope everything's good, okay?
We love you too. Have fun.
Love you,
Mama. See, man, that's beautiful right there.
That's minority moms right there.
That's right. My mom just texted me back. Yo, fam, busy. this is my mom. Text me. You tell your friends you are a great son and have always been. Thanks for the call. It made me feel so warm inside and full of love for you.
God, moms, dog.
Yo, moms are the best, man.
Yo.
Moms are the best, bro. Yo, this is the difference between moms and women.
I've been saying this. I have a bit about this.
Do you?
Yeah, moms are to be, we talked about this bit. I haven't worked it out, but like moms are, I put moms on a pedestal.
Right.
They're not even human beings. They're angels walking the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Women who haven't had kids are just us.
Right, they're
you're just
guys.
Me.
Yeah.
I don't respect me. I'm gonna respect you. You know what I mean? That's a big workaround.
But it is beautiful. Oh, thank you, Mom. Oh, thank you, Mom.
Mom's the best. Most selfless, angelic creatures God ever created.
All right, I love you. Yo, text really improved our relationship. For real, it did. It really did. Now we be texting all the time. Look at that shit. My mom just learned that she didn't have to, like, sign the text. Like, she used to write the whole text and be like, Mom. Like, she was worried, like, when it got thrown out to Texland, like, someone else could go.
Yo, we gotta do a Mother's Day episode with all the moms. I've talked about this.
Get the moms.
Bring all
in.
The moms on. And mom sports opinions are always the funniest.
Oh, God, that'd be great.
I remember I was rooting. I never rooted for Kobe. I always hated Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, I respect him, but I couldn't root for the Lakers.
Sure.
So I was watching the finals, Sixers-Lakers, and I'm rooting for the Sixers. And my mom is, like, trying to be supportive. And she's saying things like, Shaq is too big. He's cheating. And, like, that's the only opinion she has. He's too big. He's cheating. He's cheating. He shouldn't be that big. And I was like, this is adorable.
I would kick her out the room so fast, yo. I mean, yeah. Yo, stop ruining the game,
Mom.
Oh,
you want to, but it's just so adorable. She's just sitting there, 4'11", just looking.
No, moms are special. Moms are special people. I remember hearing, like, maybe we'll save this for, like, when our moms come on. But I remember asking my mom, like, what it was like when she just had me? Like, you know, when you're a kid, like, what was it like? And she was like, well, you know, I hired a babysitter. And, but I didn't trust her. Because one day I came home and you had a wee rash on your arse, right? I go, I had a what? I had a rash on my ass. She said, a wee rash on your ass. I didn't trust the babysitter. So one day she took you to the park and I followed her. I followed her to the park and I hid behind a bush watching all the kids in the park, and I understand now how crazy that sounds. Just a wee Scottish lady staring at kids from behind a bush. But I needed to make sure that she wasn't hurting my baby. And I figured out what she was doing. This babysitter, she would just put you in the swing, and she wouldn't have swing you. She would just leave you there. She'd leave you in the swing, Andrew.
That's criminal. You should be locked up for that.
Bro, for real.
That's
I was like,
fucking criminal.
And that's why you had the rash on your arse, because you were sitting in the wee swing for hours. You were sitting there for hours, Andrew. Because my knees were getting tired when I was watching you from the bush. I go, Mom, why'd you leave me there for hours? You could have stepped in, like, after like 30 minutes. Like, yo, why don't you get a push and a swing? She's like, I did think about that, Andre. But there's part of me that wanted to know how long she would have left you there in the swing. And I couldn't believe it. It was hours you were in the swing.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yo,
I love you, Mom.
Your mom sounds a hell of like Conor McGregor. Can't help but notice that.
I gotta get a good Conor down. I forgot that I could do voices. When I was early in comedy, I would do like accents a little bit more.
It was incredible.
I got away from it, and I can do them a little bit.
It was incredible.
Get back into some voices.
I remember Andrew used to do a joke about where he would just live in this character, this Puerto Rican character, for 5-10 minutes on end. And I know people are going to want to be offended, but I'm telling you, when Puerto Ricans were there, I've never seen laughter like this in my life. They would fucking die.
The character was the Puerto Rican guy on a subway who plays his...
He's making fun of how skinny your jeans were.
Oh, yeah. He made fun of how skinny my jeans were, but while he was playing his music on his cell phone on speaker. And this was like a big deal because now everybody got the headphones and like earbuds, but like back in the day, if your phone could play music, it was kind of like... It was like show-offy.
Latinos still did that shit. Maybe now, even, but
now
like,
it still goes
until
down.
A few years ago, for sure. I would look at that because I moved to New York when iPhones were out and everybody had iPhones a couple years in. And when you did that joke, I remember laughing because I'd be like, what the fuck is this? We don't need to hear this. You got headphones.
Yo, you know, it's funny. Someone stole that joke from me and did it in England.
Really?
And it was a comic this English comic that I like took around a little bit in the city. And, I only know that he took the joke because he would compliment me on that joke. And then I saw him post a review of himself from a show he did in England, like at a festival. And they commented on that joke.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, you've had more stuff lifted than me.
But you've had some shit lifted.
Yeah, I've had some shit lifted too. But they always compliment you before they steal it. And I don't get it.
It's interesting. It's interesting how that's some brave shit, B.
Comics are sociopaths, man. They'll be like, yo, that's funny. Or they'll see you do it, do well with it, and then you'll know they saw it. You'll talk at the show, and then they'll just do a slight variation of it. The slightest variation. Yeah. When do you think a joke is stolen? That's another thing.
That's a good question. I don't think that if two people have the same idea, it's necessarily stolen.
Okay.
Because you and I have come up with similar ideas.
Right.
Plenty of times. Right. I don't think that you're stealing. I would hope you don't think that I'm ever stealing from you. Now, this could be because we're just having conversations all the time. We both have an idea sparked and we also go on stage. And I don't go on stage with things that are perfectly formed.
Right.
It's just an idea and it goes there. But like I'll have same ideas as Chris Rock.
Right.
Before, like the shit that's not even in his special. I'll have said shit at the Cellar and then I'm watching him at the Cellar after me.
Yeah.
And then he'll say the same.
Right.
You know, like, I remember I had that joke, like, I would never hit a woman, but I hit her back.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I wouldn't even do that. No. But, Rock has a joke, I don't know if it's in his new special, but, you know, says something, I would never hit a woman, you know what I mean? But if Oprah hit me, I'd knock that bitch out. Now, funnier.
Right. He'll do that. He'll have a similar idea to you and then and the funniest way possible. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just incredible. Now, yeah. He would never take that from me. Right. We're just both thinking about an idea.
Yeah.
And then it ended up happening. What's up, baby? Yo, ironically, we haven't really spoken about anything sports related yet. You ground us in sports. We're just talking about moms and how great they are.
We call both our moms. Kaz just walked in. So anybody.
The moms people are the shit, man.
Kaz walked in looking svelte as fuck. My man out here losing weight.
Yo. Like fucking Luther Vandross, skinny Vandross over here.
Black turtleneck.
Look at that. Slim season.
Black is slimming, bro.
Yo, there we go. I see that.
How you guys doing, man?
You got the cuts on the wrong side of your hair, man. You need the camera angle to see the cuts. Shit. Yeah, next time.
Fucking,
next time.
It was a confidence cut. It was a confidence cut.
Hey, man, we all need those. Sometimes I trim my pubes for that reason. Real talk. Yo. I do. Sometimes I'm feeling death. There's certain things that I'm feeling.
Does it like create like depth perception? Like when you trim the pubes?
Not even that. It makes me, it's like when like goth chicks cut themselves.
Wait, just for the throat?
It's a control thing. So... it's like I'm controlling something in my life. I think that's what it comes down to. I got a list of shit I do to like keep my mental health.
There's feeling more put together is a confidence thing.
Absolutely. Yes. You get a new outfit, whatever. It's a new outfit for your dick. So so I got it. So I get this new outfit for my dick, and then I feel a little better. I maybe clean my house. You know, there's a certain.
Yeah.
I do a little cleanup.
Right.
Give a little trim.
Shave my face. Comb
like
my hair.
Spring cleaning. Yeah.
Feel great. Feel great about myself.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into some sports.
All right, let's get into
literally
some sports,
the last
man.
Time you left, we talked about relationships. Remember like a month ago?
Yeah,
now you're late and we haven't. You are the only reason we talk about sports.
This shouldn't even be a sports podcast at the end of the day. It's just like, fuck it, man. Let's just
hold everything.
We're opening it up to everybody, yo. We're opening it up to everybody.
No, not you... for nothing. Like we just did Brilliant Idiots last week. Mad
Fire.
People hit us on DMs. It's like, yo. You guys should do more than just sports, man. This was amazing talk.
Akash listens to this. Well, maybe you tell us. You listen to this sports program.
I listen to a radio station called The Ticket in Dallas. It's all sports.
I saw you tweet about this.
And the morning show in particular, so fucking funny. Just three middle-aged white dudes, but one of them, they were resolving to lose weight. This is just like, at the beginning of the show, they just talk like this every time. And then they get into sports. And they were talking about what are your resolutions. And one of them said lose weight. And then the other guy, he's in shape. So he suggested the other two take up mall walking. And like, you guys got to do it together. I promise you'll get coverage. News stations will cover it.
Yeah.
So the one guy who was reluctant was like, all right, fine, I'll do it. They did it today. I posted the picture on Twitter. A horde of listeners is following them like a fucking army. And they're just talking. And then they're 20 feet behind them, a horde of people just following, taking pictures.
Like
it's incredible. It's the fucking, and that's, I think about them with this podcast a lot. We don't have to talk sports. We have a very good chemistry.
Yeah.
And just, I feel like our listeners are the same, like just a little mobilized army.
That's how I want February 7th to look like, man.
Yo,
I want motherfuckers to be,
even though it's February 9th, great.
Oh, my bad, February 9th, whatever. That's what I want February 9th to look like.
7th? I'm pretty sure it's 7th.
Which day is it, the 7th or the 9th?
If you could look that up, Alex, that'd be dope. I'm pretty sure it's the 7th.
Anyway, yeah.
Well, we got to figure it out
because the graphic is.
The graphic don't say that.
That's not what it is. But anyway, that's how we roll in Flagrant 2, man. We just do live edits on the show on the fly.
Bro, we're.
On the fire.
Hey, we're independent. We're growing. This is a 3-month old podcast.
It is February
7th.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got to switch that out. It's February 7th. We're figuring it out.
We've been saying 7th. This is the only 20 minutes.
It's
and our mom talk was so riveting the fuck it.
Anyway, February 7th, 2018, we're going to be at the Highline Ballroom. Come through, fuck with us.
Yes.
And but basically why
I want the ticket to look like a fucking a kiddie pool
compared
to our show. I want that shit sold out. Even if you're not from New York, dog. If you come to the Highline Ballroom outside of New York, like I will personally pull you on stage. And shout you out.
Don't say that because you know how many people are already planning to come.
I don't care. We'll make it a thing, dude.
Now,
like,
they gotta prove, and it can't be fucking New Jersey.
Yeah,
they
not New Jersey.
They took a flight to get here.
If you took flight, if you took Amtrak, bring some real shit.
Yeah,
bring the
bring
ticket
a
stub.
Ticket. Bring a ticket stub.
Yeah.
Andrew Akash and I will make sure
you get your shouts.
You get your shouts out and your special, you know.
But the reason I asked Akash to talk about the tickets because they do start off every podcast just talking about generic shit and they get into sports.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, And I liked it. We've kind of done that in the last few podcasts.
Yeah.
Sometimes
and people like it.
Other shit that you want to get off your chest. Absolutely. People like it. Now, are you wearing all black for some like Oprah shit?
Yo, I honestly.
Fam, my man out here part of it.
Oh shit, all of us.
We're
are
all in
all
black. Black.
Yeah, we support the Me Too movement. Shout out to Me Too. You know what I mean?
That's what's up. This was, totally
this was
not
on purpose. We care about you hoes. I mean, women. We care about y'all sluts. So what y'all gotta do is stop getting fingered and grabbed and your titties touched at work.
Please, guys,
that's disrespectful
please.
Unless you got some big ass fucking titties and I can't understand it.
Yeah, shout out to Oprah.
Did y'all watch any of the Globes?
Yo, I've only watched the speech.
I
haven't
watched any of that shit. All I watched was the speech because Alex posted a whole shit on his fucking Instagram lives. His Instagram lives is looking like period marks. You know how they
shit was an ellipsis?
Those shits was so tiny, bro.
Oh, man.
Not even Instagram live. It was,
oh, it was the story.
The story. He put on his story and the little story bars were looking so tiny. Yeah. That shit was mad long.
Well, Alex, do you have a daughter? You have a girl? No? Oh, my bad. I'm sorry.
Why don't I like Oprah?
Someone explain to me.
I don't fucking like Oprah.
How do you not like Oprah?
I don't know, dog. It's something about her.
Let me tell you a story.
It might be me. It might be a me thing.
It's got to be
but
you,
there's
bro.
A thing that I just find kind of like phony and self-righteous.
I'll put it like this, though. There was definitely a period where I didn't like Oprah because she didn't fuck with hip-hop. And she didn't start fucking with hip-hop until, like, it was...
It was
profitable to do so. Like, literally, the first rapper I think she had on her show was, like, Ludacris. And that was for, like, Fast and the Furious.
Good!
They had beef.
And then, yeah.
Her and Luda had beef.
Yeah. That's what it was.
Son,
it was
that is good beef, that she don't fuck with hip-hop.
Why is that?
Because you gotta set the standards high. Set the standards for your people high. You think that, like, who's like, the most famous, like, Jewish person that represents the Jewish community?
Seth Rogen? I don't know, dude. You tell
all
me.
I'm saying, I don't
you're
know.
You're
Woody
the closest
Allen?
One.
I'm not Jewish. I'm just saying.
Is it Woody Allen? Because he fucks his daughter.
Woody Allen's not going to be the moral standard. But
Seinfeld. Seinfeld.
Maybe Seinfeld. I fucks with Seinfeld like Woody Allen fucks with his daughter.
Okay. Wow.
To an inappropriate degree.
Here's a better example. Forget Jews. Nigerians, right?
Okay.
Would
Hakeem Olajuwon?
No. Would Nigerians be cool with their son being a gangster rapper?
Absolutely not. Unless they were mega
successful.
They
had to be mega, but we're not talking about that. Would they be cool with the, hey, you know what I'm going to do with my life? I'm going to go be a gangster.
Absolutely
rapper.
Not. Like you get no parental support off rip. Like you
why
have
would
to
they
be,
not be cool? Because the standards to, yeah. are high. Okay. And Oprah was trying to set the standards for her people that she loves so much higher than I'm going to sell drugs, I'm going to fucking fuck bitches,
whatever,
I'm going to kill strangers.
Dog,
and she went so hard.
I don't want to hear nothing from you. You're a failure to your family because you're not
even,
a doctor. Don't pull this whatever
like
dog
her.
Shit.
No, I just don't like, I just think it's all phony and I don't know.
I mean, she kind of overcompensated though. Like when she finally got a rapper on, like not only was it Jay-Z, but she brought him two Marcy projects. So like they had to broadcast from there. So it was like, she's overcompensating for all
she
the years.
She just want a chaperone. She just hadn't been to the hood in so long and she don't trust Stedman to keep her safe. She's like, all right, give me fucking Jay. Is Busta busy? Give me Jay. Let's go to Marcy, walk around his dangerous shit.
Oh man. No, but I don't think you're like not allowed to not like Oprah. Like as a black person.
Can I
like
tell you guys a story that's going to make you love Oprah?
Tell me.
So my dad used to work in news in Baltimore.
Okay.
You know who also worked in news in Baltimore?
Mm.
Oprah Winfrey.
Mm-hmm.
That's where she was getting.
I did not know that.
She was getting her start in Baltimore, yeah. Right? Now, my dad worked with a guy. And this is before Oprah is even famous at all. And this guy used to tell my dad that Oprah Winfrey gave the most fire.
No!
In the history of the universe. Son, off the blowjobs, the guy used to say to my dad, let me tell you something. This Oprah Winfrey woman is going to be massive.
Well, terrible.
She is going to be massive.
Swear to God, this story
is true. My life, fam. Hey, Larry Schultz lies?
No, I'm telling you.
Larry Schultz lies?
You're not lying.
No, I'm not lying. Now,
I'm not touching this at all. Not today.
Let me tell you something that will make you feel comfortable. Let me tell you something that will make you feel comfortable.
It was consensual?
Oh, absolutely. Consensual. God. But what Oprah has spoken on many times, she's spoken about how she acted out sexually because she was molested as a child. She went through sexual trauma as a child. And she acted out sexually. And, you know, it was one of those things that she had to understand about herself and where this came from, et cetera. So this is not something that Oprah would essentially deny, you know? Now, I'm not saying that one should act out sexually. I am saying that if you do, you probably give some fire ass.
You better be worth $40 billion at the end.
I'm not
touching
that. We need a filet drop
it,
whenever we say some real
filet. I still can't do the filet.
Yeah, nah.
No,
anyway, shout out to him, man. He went to, shout out to filet.
Filet went to,
I feel like every, first he went to my alma mater, my high school, the Patrick School.
St. Joseph?
St. Patrick's. It was St. Patrick's. It was changed to the Patrick School because they literally ran out of funding. And, like, they were going to close down.
Ran out of the Catholic part?
Well.
How Jesus gave up on y'all. That's fucked up. That's the savior.
So now there's just a like, public school.
Cut the save, baby. Like,
that's, we don't need funny. This.
So now the Patrick School.
Now you're just Irish.
They literally would have been shut down if it wasn't for, like, Kyrie Irving, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, all these guys that went there.
Wow.
And, like, they gave their own money to keep the school open. So shout out to Filet. He went there this week. And Kyrie refurbished the entire gym, refurbished
that.
The entire locker room, yeah. You know, gave them, it's their first ever like Kyrie Irving school. So like they have like the Kyrie Irving branding on the jerseys, the sneakers, all that type of shit. So shout out to him. Shout out to doing good.
Bad investment, you know what I
mean?
Yo.
Why is that a bad investment?
Say if the business is failing, you're going to inject some money into it.
Yeah.
How's it going to make more money?
It's going to, well,
if
first off,
God didn't bring money in.
You gotta understand,
Patrick
though,
is gonna bring money in.
It's not an investment. It's a tax write off. I mean, most, but in the then, most practical
all
sense,
all I'm saying
wise,
is he would have to continue. He would have to continue contributing in order to keep it open.
You gotta,
or
understand,
you gotta
though.
Find a donor. You understand what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or you gotta find a donor base. Unless it became, it stopped being Catholic and became a public school, and now it gets money from the city.
Well, it's a private school. It's a private institution now.
Oh,
but I'll tell you this, though. I went to St. Patrick's, and St. Patrick's was a shitty school. Like, it was super shitty. Like, it literally was three floors, three rooms on each floor, one shitty basketball court, and the only thing that kept it open, that kept it alive, was that the basketball program was massive. Like, we had...
Oh, so it makes money for even high schools?
Yeah. Yeah,
people pay to watch high school basketball?
Yes. Like, people... Like, we had a...
This is a school Kyrie transferred to.
Yeah, he transferred to the school his junior, senior year. And, you know, we had a Jordan sponsorship, so, like, you know...
Oh, you were getting money.
Yeah, well, the school... Yeah, the school was... Yeah, definitely.
I get it. So now Nike sponsored the school, mm-hmm. and then the whole thing, and mm-hmm. the players got to go to Nike colleges.
Yeah, yeah. And then when you go to... when you go to these tournaments, you know, outside of the state or whatever.
Oh, they
like,
pay you
whatever.
To play in
they
it.
They pay you to play in that. A lot of the schools get that type of money. You
and
know
now
what
since
I mean?
You're
get
a Kyrie school, everybody's going to want Kyrie. Mm-hmm. Da, 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 da. I see the whole thing.
So
but,
it's
but Rick
it's not
Pitino's
a...
an asshole. Just Rick Pitino. Nobody else does it.
Listen,
I see how
it's,
it is.
It's a, man. Being as somebody who like sat front row, literally, because I didn't get a shit ton of playing time in my high school career.
Right.
Like literally seeing how the
you know
politics,
what got you some more playing time?
What?
If you gave some fire.
You're a fucking terrible
Oprah got
person.
All that air time, bro.
You're a terrible person.
I'm just saying, you were
I don't
at
think
St.
that
would have
got you playing time.
If there's one type
I don't think good head would have got you playing
at
time.
At a Catholic institution?
Okay, fair enough.
You give up that booty, you're going to get crunch time at least. Come on,
crunch
now.
Crunch time is a good choice of words.
I don't want to say I didn't get any playing time at all. I played sparingly.
I thought you were going to say I didn't get fucked.
I didn't get blowjobs. Just, you know, it was just a money thing there. No, but yeah, man. Like, if you see just how, I don't want to say corrupt, but like how unfair the entire grassroots basketball system is. Whereas, you know, all this money is getting exchanged and all these people are getting something out of it.
Yeah.
Except for the player. The players are literally walking billboards for Nike, for Adidas.
It's
for
communism,
whoever.
Man.
It's
communism.
Well, what's the other one where it's just the businesses make money? Totalitarianism?
No.
What's the one? You know, it's basically communism only like the.
I don't think I passed that part in the business.
They say it's what America is.
Yeah.
Corporatocracy or something like that, where just the big businesses have my whatever.
You're more well read than me.
Fine, communism.
We gave it a shot. We tried to be smart today. And we just...
Suck my dick, basketball.
Anyway,
suck my dick like Oprah.
Yes.
First of all, we're talking entirely too much about.
Anytime I tell a story to somebody, they get all offended, like they don't want Oprah to be good at sucking dick. Oprah is the best at TV. She's the best at interviewing. She's the best at owning a magazine, and she's the best at sucking that dick.
Today of all days,
why wouldn't she be the best
of all days? We cannot talk about Oprah sucking dick.
Oprah sucks such good dick that the guys wouldn't even say me too. That's how good. It could start out as a me too, and then just be like, yeah.
I mean, to be fair, this was the premise of a classic Dave Chappelle Show skit.
What'd he say?
When he got her pregnant for the money. Yeah.
You don't want the realness.
I would have. I'd climb that.
Oh, come on. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely not touching that at all. I mean, well, I did a little bit, but no.
Whatever. It's just all I'm saying that greatness doesn't, you know, greatness runs across all.
Greatness has no limits.
Lanes, and it has no limits.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely no limits.
Like, it's hard to think what Oprah would be bad at. What would she be bad at?
Not head.
Not head at all. That's one thing she's not bad at. Gulp, gulp. I don't know why people care so much about Oprah being bad at sucking dick.
You can't talk about... Oh, my God.
No, notice there's a distinct difference. The black dudes in the room really want Oprah to be bad at sucking dick. First of all, this is why black women are about 10... Like Patrice O'Neal said, 10 years behind white women when it comes to freaky shit. Because you black dudes oppress them when they're good at sexual things. Patrice O'Neal, what did Patrice say? He said black women are 10 years
behind. I'm just noticing that you quoted Patrice because you know as a white dude, you can't say some shit like that.
Goddamn right I said that shit.
I know, I'm not calling you out for it. I'm just noticing.
Listen. Well, you did call him out.
I got to give credit where credit's due. All I'm saying is we got to stop oppressing black women sexually. We got to let them be sexually liberated, get out there, do all the things you want to do, including sucking dick.
I hope that's Oprah's model. I hope that's how our audience takes that.
First of all, imagine Oprah sucks good dick, right? And your girl doesn't suck good dick. Don't you want to be like Oprah, bitch? What the fuck is wrong with you? Like, she's out here with TV shows and still sucks good dick, and you just out here not sucking good dick with no TV shows. Like, maybe the reason you don't got no TV shows is because you ain't got no dick sucking skills.
Yo, I'm bowing out of this.
Tell me, please change the subject.
Kev, we are comedians. Let us rock. Stop making it uncomfortable. I love what you do. We need you. But if this man's talking about Oprah sucking dick, you let him rock. Right? That's what the fuck we do as comedians. All right? We talk this shit.
Real talk. That's all I'm saying is I think a woman should be able to do whatever she wants on her body.
You're right. You are right.
We do not silence free speech here.
Yeah.
In the same way he does not shame Oprah for sucking great dick.
Exactly.
We do not shame Andrew for talking about Oprah sucking great dick.
Matter of fact, if Oprah was right here, I would ask her. I'd be like, yo, I heard a rumor back in the day that your head game is fire.
Let me tell you this.
She'd be like, you better believe
Oprah,
it.
Oprah will have the snipers hit you before you even hit the door. before you even stand up, you'd just be down.
She'll fly in eight kids from one of those schools she saved.
This is a windowless room.
Eight little African kids come in, shoot the dart in my neck. Where the fuck these kids come out? They start saying the ABCs like, yo, y'all are real good in English.
This is a windowless room. She will find a sniper to take your ass out. I'm like, how the fuck did they get fucking snipers in a windowless booth?
Somebody pops open the sound paneling, start taking us out.
Drops down the ceiling like Mission Impossible.
All I'm saying, it's a great compliment, what I'm saying. We got to stop acting like being good at fellatio is something bad or something reserved just for whores or something like that. It's not.
No,
it's a
special,
beautiful act.
No, it is not.
You know what I mean?
I'm not slut shaming out here.
I mean, think about the other way around. What if somebody was like, yo, Martin Luther King was great at eating pussy? You think we'd be like, chill! Stop talking about Martin Luther King and pussy!
Martin Luther King did get a lot of ass, though. He did get a lot of ass.
Yeah, but we wouldn't go, oh my God, how dare you say Martin Luther King is good at eating pussy?
But you do understand, like, the male and the female dynamic. Like, that's a thing. That is a thing, man.
In 2018, there is no such thing as gender.
Oh, fuck. That's a great point.
All I'm saying is I'm not about to oppress women and their sexuality, you know what I'm saying? Just like I'm not about to oppress men. If you're out here eating good pussy, fellas, that's what's up. Now, I don't respect you. You know what I mean? Because your stroke game should be so good, you don't even got to eat pussy.
Listen, Some people just
speak
like
for
it.
Yourself, champ.
Yeah, like, I just like it, dog. I'm like, is that? Am I not allowed to just like eating pussy? Like, is that what?
Nah, I'm just playing. Like, I like eating pussy.
God damn. I'm like, I know you ain't bullshitting right now.
Nah, I love eating pussy. Everything's cool.
We're talking about some goddamn sports, please.
Yeah, let's go.
Jesus Christ.
Right. Legitimately, this is a huge sports weekend, and we spent 35 minutes talking about everything else.
We're going to go through the whole podcast with no sports.
Fuck it.
All right, fuck it. Let's,
that's going to happen.
Goddamn. The playoffs. Talk about Cam Newton's concussion.
Yeah.
Or not. Oh, you got a concussion?
Oh, you didn't see what happened.
The only good game all weekend.
Yeah.
Unless you count Titans Chiefs, which I'm not going to.
Which is garbage.
But yeah, the only good game all weekend still has that cloud hanging over. The NFL cannot get right now.
Yeah.
Wow, what happened?
All right, so boom. It was the Saints were pretty much dominating the game for most of the game. And then I guess Cam Newton came and they started making a little bit of a comeback. Oh, my God. Yes, yes, we do. Timeout.
Oh, that's respectful right there. There you go.
Here we go.
That's what's
up. Please, God, yes. We love you, Oprah.
We love you, Oprah.
Thank you. Thank you for the speech.
I'm quiet over here. I don't know yet, Oprah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, nah.
Tell me you don't want to see her just take
stop,
the glasses
stop,
off.
Stop. 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 No.
You got so uncomfortable.
Put that hair up and a little hair tie.
Yo, it's like Oprah's their mom, dog.
Yo, it's so
she
weird.
Is. We were
talking about Martin Luther King eating pussy. We're like, you wouldn't want to see Martin undo that tie a little bit.
That makes me uncomfortable.
Button a shirt. All I'm saying, I'd be like, hell yeah, Marco, do what the fuck you do, man. You're the greatest speaker ever. Damn well, you know how to do more things with your mouth than just speak. I'd be all about it. All I'm saying is we're not going to be sexist on this show and treat women differently than we would treat men. We're going to empower these ladies.
So Cam Newton had a concussion, right? He got hit in the head real hard.
He got hit in the head. You know who else be hitting heads?
Jesus.
All right, so Cam Newton got a concussion.
Yeah, so he got knocked out pretty hard on a second hit on one of those drives that he was trying to win the game at. He walks off the field. He collapses, right?
Yes.
Everybody looks at him and we're like, oh, God, he absolutely has concussion.
Yeah.
That they give him the eye thing. He looks like he's had like 8/5 of Hennessy to the face. Like, he looks fucked up.
Okay.
Fucked up, right? Couple plays later, he's right back in the game.
The next drive.
They're saying he had an eye injury, but no, he was clearly concussed. But to his credit, he comes back and throws some fucking lasers.
He drops some dimes.
And it leads me to the conclusion that black quarterbacks eat concussions like Scooby Snacks. Like his light works. Like Russell Wilson, a couple weeks ago, clearly concussed.
Mm.
Clearly does not go through any concussion protocol. They look at him, they're like, he's good. Sends him right back out.
And does work.
Goes and wins the fucking game, right? Same thing with Cam Newton. He didn't quite win the game, but he threw like three dimes like directly after that hit, and I was like, holy shit, he might fuck around and win. He throws like an 82 yard thing, well, it was like a 10
Christian
yard
carried a 56 yard touchdown, I think.
Yeah,
and then
it to the house.
He had one pass on the sideline, I forget.
Oh, dude,
fucking,
I mean, that Christian McCaffrey pass was easy, right? Was
but he had a
pass,
laser in
there, but
drive.
It was he was in there. He was
and I think did you see the grounding call?
Yeah, I did see the grounding
call. I think
call.
The grounding call was borderline. I think they made the right call, but they got fucked
in
by
a game like that. You don't. It's like it's kind of like in basketball when you like you let the players finish it. Like you don't call like you don't call a charge with like 5 seconds left in the game. Like you got an MVP storming down the field on the road. Like
so, Cam is scrambling. I think it's 1st and 10.
Yeah,
and he goes like to the very edge of the pocket. Like they drew a red line on the replay showing where the pocket is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know when you're outside
he
of the pocket,
he throws it out to they give it.
Yeah, yeah. He's right on the line, and they called it grounding. Lost 10 yards and a down.
Was he inside the pocket?
He was like on the line.
It really was borderline. It really
like, literally
was borderline.
Where the line was drawn. He is on it.
So was his foot over it or behind?
See,
it?
That's what I'm saying. I think they made the right call.
Oh, so they made
like,
the right call.
It's like real. It's like calling a
Yeah, it's like, calling like double dribble on LeBron James. It's like, come
at
on,
the
bro.
End of a playoff game.
It's like, it's like if LeBron's like on a fast break by himself and he takes that extra step that he usually takes to dunk. It's like, come on, bro, just let him dunk it.
Yo, that concussion shit is like, it ain't that bad. I'm mad concussions. I've had, I think, 3 concussions.
Like, dog.
This is crazy.
Are you kidding? Like, he is not here.
Fam, I look like that every time I go to the strip club. That's no reason.
Yo, you know when else you look like that? When you get hit.
That's literally what he's looking at. He's like, did that just happen to me? Did that? How are you so good at so many things? All I'm saying is that, listen, I got multiple concussions in my life. And this is really embarrassing. I went to rollerblading camp. Please, no judgment.
Oh, wait, what? Whoa. You went to rollerblading camp.
Son, I went to rollerblading camp.
Did they have camps where, you were, learning how to rollerblade, or you were just good at rollerblading?
Not aggressive skating.
I tried that. Which is just too pussy to do it.
It's whack. I know, this shit is mad whack, right? Anyway, I'm embarrassed. Whatever, y'all. Fuck it. We're on ramps and shit. I wore big ass knee pads. You know what I mean?
So you're like Tony Hawk and shit?
Yeah, but even worse, because I was rollerblading, dude. I wasn't even fucking skateboarding or nothing.
Mad graceful.
Just gliding my asshole out and shit. You leaning forward like a raptor the entire time. It's uncomfortable. Anyway, I was trying to grind this rail. Right? I was by myself. I was going to eat.
You mean suck a dick?
No. In this circumstance, I wasn't. I'm one of the few rollerbladers that doesn't. So I jump on the rail. Next thing I remember, my face is just in the dirt. So I hit my head and I got completely knocked out, concussed. Right? I got up. They helped me up. I don't even think they took me to the doctor or nothing. They took me back to the cabin where we were sleeping. I fell asleep for a little bit. And then the next day, I was out there rollerblading again. Now,
so you say all that to say, go into rollerblading camp.
I have no concussion protocol or nothing like that. I was good. I went back to the rollerblading the next day.
That's the stupidest shit I ever
heard. I was about to say, you cannot akin you at rollerblading camp. Probably the softest thing I've ever heard you say in my life.
Son,
next to this guy getting wailed by a 300 pounder.
I saw him get wailed, but the guy just hugged him and he fucking fell over. It was a bear hug. He said
he got a shoulder right into his face mask. Fam. And that face mask is hard and right here.
I didn't have a helmet on.
Money spot right now.
I didn't have all this padding. I didn't have anything like that. The ground weighs a lot more than some 300 pound lineman. Ground weighs millions of pounds.
They were in New Orleans, which is AstroTurf, which is pretty hard. It's not grass. It's not concrete.
The ground. My man just hugged him. He kissed him.
Man, I don't know, bro.
It's miracle turf. It's not as hard as AstroTurf. But the man got rocked. Concussions are little, they're actually killing people. And then they just threw this guy back out in the game. They're not just kill. They're like the cigarettes of sports injuries. They don't just kill you. They kill the motherfuckers around you. It's crazy. This concussion shit is crazy.
Yo, you could die from secondhand CTE. Mad wives be dying from that shit.
Yo.
Wow.
It's and then they just keep sending these guys back in. Julian Edelman won the Super Bowl MVP against Seattle with a concussion. Quiet as kept.
That's all I'm saying. You're good.
Yeah, you are right for the day, but
I got
mad concussions,
bro. Yeah, you could get back out there and play. I don't think the issue is, could he have got back out there and play? Because clearly he did, and they fell a little short, but he was still doing his thing. But if the NFL is going so hard about player safety and trying to protect people from concussions and we're really making this a big deal and we're going to take care of this type of shit, you cannot look like that after a hit and be like, nah, he's good. Send him back out there.
What makes it tough is
I ran into a pole once.
Stop trying to equate.
I'm just saying, ran into a fucking hard-ass pole.
Stop trying to equate
this
your
Colombian bitch was chasing me outside my high school when I was 15 years old, and I was running away from her ass. and I was Yeah, exactly.
I think a lot of this goes you just being white and uncoordinated.
Son, first of all, maybe.
I think that's what it is.
What I mean?
All this boils down
to swift-ass Colombian playing soccer, footwork was mad good. I couldn't shake her. Right? I look back to see if I got some distance away from the Colombian, and then next thing I knew, I was on the ground, and I was hearing mad ringing in my ear. Another concussion.
Jesus.
Took me to the hospital. Back home that night. Getting busy with the homework.
But you didn't have to go out there and lead a football team.
Mad homework.
Don't entertain this. Mad homework. People taking Andrew seriously when he does this bothers me more than Andrew does.
I got mad homework that night.
My man said getting busy with the homework.
Boom. What? What? Quadraticals? What? What? Did I hit
quadraticals?
I didn't hit the quadraticals. What?
Protractors and
mad
shit.
Mad protractor. What? Hey, what is that shit? Something square plus 2x plus
the Pythagorean theorem.
All that. All that pussy ass Greek shit. Fuck Greece if you listen in from there. We got no respect for you.
Shout out to Gyros, man. Shout out to Gyros.
Anyway, that's all I'm saying is you could really, we're acting like a concussion means you can't do shit.
But here's the thing, man.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like Well, they probably already had multiple of these already with like Junior Seau and stuff. Mm-hmm. But like, I always link back to, you don't want your Chris Benoit to happen. When your Chris Benoit happens, that's when it's like, oh, okay.
Explain Chris Benoit for people who don't know.
All right, so people who know Chris Benoit. Chris Benoit was this really popular wrestler about 10 years ago. His finishing move was a diving headbutt, right? Like, he would literally jump off the top rope and headbutt you while you're laying on the ground, right? Mind you, you wrestle about like 4 times a week, everywhere in the country, whatever. You're probably doing this move thousands of times, right?
Right.
He went nuts, killed his family, killed his wife, killed his son, killed himself, right? They finally look at his brain, like, when he passed away or whatever. He had, like, the brain of, like, a 93-year-old with dementia because he's taken so much, like, trauma to the head. And this isn't just with his diving headbutt. Like, this is before, like, wrestling really cleaned itself up, because before they used to just, like, hit you clean over the head with a steel chair. And, like, that was a thing for them.
No sport
like,
gave a fuck less than wrestling about the health of their
Dog. Like, they'd make themselves bleed. Like, they'd take steel chairs to the head. They'd dive off the head to make it look as real as possible. And he was one of the best pro wrestlers I had ever seen. And, like, I was sad for, like, 3 hours when he died. And I found out he killed his wife and child. I was like, oh, okay, That's
Javon
weird.
Belcher, same thing. Kansas City Chiefs killed his girlfriend, maybe his girlfriend's child that they had together, and himself.
Yeah.
This is it's the fucking cigarette smoke of sports injuries. It kills people around you.
Look, I'm not saying everybody's going to be as strong as me when it comes to concussions.
You know what? I didn't want to interrupt your story, but I saw the look in his face, and I know that because I get the same look. And the look is, I know he's presenting valid points, but I can't give him that. Have to not give a fuck about the emotionality of what he's saying and find the thing to say to undermine everything.
Fun for a second? No, damn, motherfucking computer, look at me. That's me getting busy. That's me right after my concussion, right? Getting busy. If y'all don't know what we're looking at right now, Alex, my guy.
Alex is earning it today, man.
My guy just put a picture up of me on roller skates on the Pacific Ocean getting busy fresh off a concussion.
Oh, Jesus. Christmas.
All I'm saying, not everybody gonna be as strong as me when it comes to concussion. Now, will something crazy happen to me later in my life? It's possible.
That's the only possible.
It's possible. It's possible. But those are the risks you take when you want to live this life right. Alex, we gotta get this image down because it says February 9th, not February 7th.
It's all good.
Who? You.
Who? Nah, we said 7th on the text.
Son, I've had 3 concussions. What the fuck do you want from me, Alex? Check the group text. How am I supposed to have 3 concussions and get all the dates right? Yo, sometimes I do think my concussion be fucking me up.
I think I corrected February 7th.
Real talk, my trainer, when we work out, counts down with the reps.
Mm. Yeah.
I count up.
Yeah.
And today I was trying to count down with that motherfucker.
That shit is weird.
And he forgot.
Man, I was skipping numbers like crazy, bro. I'd be like 14, 12. I'd be like, no, 11. The odd numbers, I don't even know how to count them going down. All I'm saying is watch out for concussions, ladies and gentlemen. Them shits are real out here, bro.
It's real.
But for real, though, can we put February 7th for everybody's watching? Because
we will tell everybody. Oh, okay. February 7th.
Yeah, February 7th.
Come to Highline Ballroom. You know what I mean? It's going to be crazy. I got a lot of really good guests coming by, man. I won't tell you who, but it'll be fun and surprised, and it'll be a good night. So you get your money's worth, and it'll be a good old time.
Y'all don't know Cass. Cass putting in work, man.
Yeah, man.
Putting in work.
I'm trying, dog. I'm trying, bro. All right. Let's talk about it, man.
So your boy, Rick Carlisle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being a killjoy.
Coming at ESPN's neck.
Here's the thing that just to set it up. He said, he's like, why do you guys keep interviewing LaVar Ball? Why do you keep posting, putting out stories about LaVar Ball? You're the problem here. You're the reason everything is
for the same reason why he's answering a question at a press conference about LaVar Ball.
So, exactly. But my issue is this, is like, first of all, sports are meaningless. It is entertainment. That's it. Nobody lives or dies.
You could probably die if you get a lot of concussions.
Well, I'm saying it's not like, you know, all these news corporations posting stories about Trump and then talking about Trump constantly and then he wins an election, right? Mm. Because there's shit on the line with that. Sports are entertainment. You know who's entertaining?
LaVar goddamn Ball.
Fucking Ball.
Yes.
And as long as he's entertaining, We will talk about this motherfucker. Stop acting like sports mean something more than they else. A ball goes into a hole. that is basically what sports are.
Yeah, it
is fun. And if this dude is fun and we like it, then that's what the fuck it's going to be. Don't be a killjoy.
No, like, you can say all the shit you want about, like, why do we cover LeVar Ball? Why do we do this? Like, bruh, he does numbers. He does numbers.
What is the worst thing can happen if we cover LeVar Ball? What's the worst thing can happen?
I mean, yeah, he can take down his team.
Like, Luke Walton's feelings are hurt. I don't know.
I thought Luke doubled down so brilliantly.
It was the best. It was the best response to the thing. You saw it?
No, I don't know.
So LeVar says that Luke Walton has lost the locker room, that the players don't want to play for him, right? The next day, one of the reporters asks one of these questions where he's trying to get an answer. And he goes, so we noticed you took Lonzo out at the end of the second and the end of the fourth or something like that. You took him out early. Is there a reason why you did that? And he goes, Luke Walton goes, yeah, because his dad was talking shit.
So I took him out.
So I took his ass out. And then he goes, nah, I'm just kidding. But it was like he doubled down. He's like, yes, I'm aware of what's happening in the zeitgeist. I know what's going on. Mm-hmm. I'm going to acknowledge it. And by acknowledging it, you say, listen, this doesn't affect me.
Not for nothing. He might have galvanized his team with that. Like, absolutely. Because they won yesterday. And they won, like, they beat the break. I forgot who they played. But they beat the brakes off of some team yesterday. Mm-hmm. And
look,
then,
I don't think LeVar... I actually like LeVar criticizing Luke.
Yeah.
Because LeVar knows that Luke is not the right coach for Lonzo. Mm. Lonzo needs the ball in his hands. Mm-hmm. And Luke is a Golden State Warriors, Rockets spread offense, where the Rockets even a little bit less, but like literally Golden State is just ball movement, go, 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 no dribbling. Lonzo needs the ball. He would work perfectly in pick and roll, something that like Dallas used to run, you know, with Nash and that kind of stuff like that. And he knows Luke is never going to run that. And in Luke's system, Lonzo sits in the corner and waits to brick a three.
This is true. This is true.
So if I'm
to his credit, Lonzo's been playing a lot better lately.
Much better, but he would play at his peak. If you want to get the most out of him, you got to put him in pick and roll offense. You got to have the ball in his hand to let the guy.
That's the Utah Jazz offense. They've been running the same fucking offense since I was like 5 years old. And look at Donovan Mitchell. Goddamn star. Like he looks like he should be an All Star this year,
bro.
He's been playing that good.
Anyway, so if I'm LeVar and I want to influence a team to help my son play better, which is what every dad should want to do for their kid. That's what I would do. I'd criticize the coach and hopefully get the coach out of there and get a coach in that, you know, knows how to play.
So I'm not as like privy to like what the Better Business Bureau does or whatever. Mm-hmm. But apparently they gave Big Baller Brand an F grade for their products or something like that. Is this a big deal or nah? I don't know.
It's not a big deal.
I don't go off Better Business Bureau.
People who are buying Big Brawler Brand don't give a fuck about the Better Business Bureau.
It's like Supreme could get F from the fucking...
Are people going to stop buying Supreme?
No, they'll put it on a t-shirt and then they'll buy that exact t-shirt. It's fine.
LeVar, we just gave you a free idea, though.
LeVar, if you don't print the exact notification from the Better Business Bureau... Better Business Bureau, Big Baller Brand. You got triple Bs.
Yeah.
Right.
Make this shit happen.
He said he had the perfect response for it, though.
What did he say?
He said... That we don't pay attention to those triple Bs no more. I didn't even think you guys still existed. Everybody's talking about Big Baller Brand now.
We're the Big Baller Brand.
And like, that's why we give LeVar so much attention. Because us as like the media or as like journalists, we say we want honesty from the subjects. We say we want people to answer questions directly. And when they do, we're like, oh, no, not like that. No, like this, yada, yada, yada. Yeah. And it's like, all right, great. If Archie Manning goes and says... John Mara doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. That's news.
I wouldn't like it still.
You wouldn't like it, but it's news.
If you're a parent, and Archie played, so it's a little different, I guess. But if you're a parent, I still think, just fall back.
Shut up. That's what you think?
Not shut up, but just we don't need that much of it.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, I don't doubt that it's not comfortable and not wrong. And it's putting Lonzo in an awkward situation where he has to be like, oh, who do you back? Your dad or your coach? Whatever. I'm not saying that. But to Carlisle's point, I'm like, that's why it's news. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't pick and choose what, you know, people are allowed to pay attention to. Who moves the needle? Like, this guy moves the fucking needle,
Carlisle, dog. Also, and this is shitty. He always is horrible with the media, hates the media, argumentative with the media, short with the media. And then as soon as he got fired from the Pacers before he went to the Mavs, what he did was go to ESPN and get a job with the media.
Facts. Facts.
Carlisle's also like a weirdo. Like he believes in energy bracelets and like he's very superstitious.
He loves basketball and he don't give a fuck about anything else. So I can see why he's he doesn't want anything to do with
autistic.
LeVar.
A little autism going on.
Have you ever seen Rick Carlisle and Jim Carrey in the same place at the same time?
No, they look shockingly similar. it's scary.
They are the same fucking person.
So what did Garoppolo do to Giselle? Should we talk about that?
Listen,
she might have just thought he was hot.
And that's a enough. Handsome boy.
He's a handsome dude, though.
He was like, go
dude.
Send him to the gays. I'm not. You gonna hit on my wife?
Bro.
Yeah.
You're going to San Francisco with ugly chicks and gay dudes.
If I'm a GM.
Yeah.
If I'm Jimmy Garoppolo's agent.
Yeah.
Who's also Tom Brady's agent.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, same God. Age. Oh, that's a wrinkle,
article, right? I just want to make sure I'm not questioning y'all.
No, I didn't read the whole thing.
No, it's one thing in there, but it's easy if you missed it. But if you've read the ESPN article, it's fucking fascinating.
The whole article.
It just, and I'm not going to detail it well, but it just details the power struggle between Kraft and Belichick and Brady.
Okay.
And apparently Brady's trainer, something Guerrero.
Yeah, like the hot.
He's kind of the source of the problem, where he kind of made his way into the Patriots facility, and Belichick was cool with it at first, and then he started overstepping his bounds, and people started to feel like you can't be cool with Brady if you're not doing his TB12 method or whatever. And that guy's influence on Brady seemed to grow, and that seemed to cause a lot of tension between Belichick and Brady.
Apparently the trainer's a phony.
Yeah, I heard like he's like a hack or whatever. And
yeah,
it's,
there's no like truth to his methods, this, that, the other, besides the fact that he's got this 40-year-old quarterback playing like he's 27 years
that's
old.
That's the only thing he needs.
Okay, so then what else does the article say?
So basically, that was the cause of the tension.
Yeah.
And that strained the relationship to the point that Brady kind of started to, his relationship with Belichick frayed. Belichick had this replacement ready. Brady wasn't cool with that. He started getting a little bit like insecure, uncomfortable. Maybe he was kind of feeling the signs of his own age. Mm. And he's just like, I don't like this motherfucker here breathing down my neck.
Uh-huh.
To Robert Kraft, he needs to go. Robert Kraft forced Belichick to trade him. Like, you don't have
a
choice.
Belichick did not want to do it.
Belichick did not want to do it.
Because why would you?
Why would you? And
look,
I
can
be honest, he might have done it just as a fuck you to Brady, sent him to his hometown.
Wow.
Sent who?
Garoppolo was playing in San Francisco. Where did Tom Brady grow up? Who was Tom Brady's fucking hero for his entire life is Joe Montana.
Wow.
Wait a minute, Tom Brady's from San Francisco?
Yeah.
There's so many.
That's
wrinkles.
Why my man modeling Uggs, fam.
All makes sense.
There is so many. And the fact that I didn't know they had the same agent. Like the
same
wrinkles
agent.
There. There's so many wrinkles there, because it's like, bro.
Some motherfucker growing up in San Francisco, God bless him for getting out of there. He would have got raped.
Oh, my.
Are you kidding me? That butt chin in San Francisco, bro. He had to get to Boston. He had to go to the most homophobic city in all of the world. It's like, anything to keep my butthole safe. Please, Boston? Okay.
Yo, fuck.
Oh, my God. You know what? I'm going to put on my conspiracy hat. I'm going to put on my tinfoil hat real quick.
Okay.
I think this is the agent's doing. I think this is his agent's doing. I think if I'm Jimmy Garoppolo's agent, right, after those games that he played in San Francisco where he balled out, and he balled out, and this is before, and apparently if all this happened before he went to San Francisco, all I got to do to talk to any team to get as much money as possible is be like, yo, he was breathing down Tom Brady's neck. This motherfucker was like, he had Tom Brady shook like he's about to take my spot. The most untouchable fucking quarterback in the history of untouchable quarterbacks, dog. I think the agent set it up. I think he set it up to get Brady paid and get his new Brady paid.
He gets Brady paid, he gets new Brady paid, and he gets the Patriots something in return.
Mm.
Well, second round pick is, there were rumors, and at the time I thought that's crazy on Cleveland's part, but there were rumors Cleveland was offering both their first round picks last year for Jimmy Garoppolo, which was number 1 and number 12, I think.
Yeah, you talk to any like football guy, like anybody who's like really like a film nerd and stuff like that, all they kept going on about was like, yo, this is before he even got traded. This is just in the games where he was like in fucking, you know, in cleanup or like filling in for Brady while he's injured. He was like, dog, go look at them Garoppolo tapes, dude. He's the next one.
Like and like, Belichick was apparently like pissed off and heartbroken that
he
had to trade.
Yeah. He was going to have to pay him, right?
Yes. Well, they were offering, I think I also remember reading, they were offering between 15 and 17 million a year.
So what,
nothing.
What I need to know is why Brady wanted him gone.
This screams,
Brady is really that insecure? You think Brady's worried about...
Apparently, internally, they're noticing some signs of slippage from Brady.
So here's the thing. Has a Brady's probably going to win MVP this year, right? Either him or Gurley.
Gurley, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Brady, though.
It should be Brady, but there's that Brady fatigue. Mm. The same thing we were talking about, the Jordan fatigue and LeBron fatigue. Yeah, yeah. It should be Brady. So has a current MVP ever been this disrespected during the regular season?
Dog, I'm going to tell you, this...
That's insane.
No, it's happened before, dog.
Who?
This screams of Favre Rodgers to me, man.
Who?
This screams of Favre Rodgers to me, dog.
Yeah, but Brett Favre said he was going to retire.
Yeah.
Okay. Retired.
He pulled the Jay Leno.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. He pulled the Jay Leno.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But the Packers are like, nah, fuck that, dude. You're
Rodgers
retiring.
Is ready. You're done. Yeah. Rodgers is ready. We're good.
And the Patriots buckled. They're like, ah, okay, we'll do what you want, Tom. Like, that's...
Crap. So Belichick made a decision that he was ready to let Garoppolo take the reins. How sociopathic is Belichick that he was going to sit
Brady? Well,
I
think he was just saying, we want to sign. We don't have both of them signed. It's going to eat up a lot of cap, but we're going to have both of them signed.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep an eye on Brady. If he's still Brady, we're good. But Belichick don't give a fuck.
That's what I'm saying.
If Brady slips, we got Garoppolo, $15, $17 million a year. You're there. That's not, you get paid $15, $17 million a year, sit on the bench. We'll figure it out.
You know what? I think Brady is going to regret this, and I'll tell you why.
I think so, too.
I think Brady plays better when he's got a fire underneath his ass.
Mm-hmm.
He's always played with a chip on his shoulder. He's always thought he wasn't good enough, and he's going to keep pushing. And what keeps a 40-year-old man healthy? A 25-year-old who's probably just as good as him breathing down his neck. Now who's breathing down his neck? Nobody.
Well, I think...
Yeah. Now who could possibly take his job? Nobody. Now you're not going to put in that same work.
So the article starts... talking about, do you remember the sideline blow up where Brady screamed at Josh McDaniels?
Yes.
And a lot of people, myself included, were like, that's just Brady being fiery competitor, whatever.
No, Josh McDaniels. Apparently, like, Garoppolo would have made that.
Exactly. Basically, it was a buildup of tension from
Jimmy
months.
Jimmy ate those in practice,
though.
I saw Jimmy make that exact pass. Yeah. And Brady
He went to San Francisco and won 5 games with them, and those guys were fucking terrible.
I think they had won one game before that and then went undefeated when he got there.
Yeah. Undefeated when he got there. And
he came in relief. He came in relief.
The defense started playing well.
Ugh.
Like, they looked at the... Not only does he start to produce offense, all of a sudden the D made a miraculous turnaround.
Confidence is the biggest thing in the world.
And also, two, when you're not playing D the whole game because your offense sucks, you're going to be able to play better.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I kind of feel like that... I absolutely feel like... And just, this might be...
Wait, finish
because,
the McDaniels.
But to your point, then Jimmy, I believe Jimmy G's trade was after that, and they said Brady felt liberated and like a huge relief down his neck. And then the new quarter, the backup, I forget who it is, but he's like an ally of Brady. He's a friend. He's not a threat at all. Mm. And Cucky Brady McCuckerson. Much prefers this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brian Hoyer or something like that.
Ultimate
who's like a good friend is, and just like he's the backup.
He backed him up before. Like,
but apparently it was like, it was not, Brady was not handling it well.
Because he really felt like Belichick was starting to hand the keys over.
I don't know. It just
God,
made him
Belichick
insecure.
Is a fucking savage.
Dog, and here's
it, though.
What scares me.
I respect
that's
it
how
though.
You keep a
like dog,
type.
Like
zero connection to the players.
Here's what
whatsoever.
Scares me as a fan of the Cowboys. He loves the Giants still. He fucking hates the Jets. He loves New York. Loves the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants need a new coach.
Bro.
If this article is as crazy as everybody says, and he might leave. The Giants are right there.
Yeah.
And Belichick on the Giants is the scariest fucking thing in the world.
Absolutely frightening.
Yeah.
But give Belichick Odell Beckham Jr.
I mean, get out of my fucking...
And
like
Eli.
You know what he would
Darnold.
Do with Odell? He
keep,
would,
or like some... Who, what's the dude
Eli
from USC
and let,
or whatever?
And let Darnold or...
whoever they draft.
You know what Belichick would do?
What's the other guy?
Saquon Barkley?
Rosen.
Rosen, Josh Rosen. Yeah,
yeah, and you let Rosen from UCLA. Either one of those guys, you let them groom them for a couple of years under Eli while Eli goes into
and
his twilight. All Eli wants is 2 more years.
Here's what Belichick would do. He would trade out of the number 2 pick, get 2 or 3 first rounders. He would trade Odell Beckham for 2 or 3 first rounders, and then he would just draft whoever the fuck he thinks fits his system, and then they'd be amazing.
Mm.
That's how he operates. He don't give a fuck about... He's
stars,
always trading.
Nothing.
He doesn't give a fuck about star players.
You know
though.
What's weird is everybody said, and I'm... Listen, I still think they are the favorites to win the Super Bowl, I guess. But I remember this offseason, they traded a number 1 for... Who's the fucking Saints receiver that they traded for? I don't remember his
Brooks.
Name.
Brandon Cooks.
Yeah. And everybody was like, oh, the Patriots are going to be unstoppable. But I was like, I don't... This just doesn't seem like a Patriots move that they do when they're really good. They're not giving up draft picks for like home run hitters. They're just, they're usually trading back and just getting guys that fit the Belichick model and they're kicking ass and that's it.
Mm.
This whole offseason, like big signings, I don't know. I was in my mind, I was like, I don't know. I guess they're still the favorite, but I'm not positive this is going to work.
If you're
you really think Belichick would leave the Patriots?
I think he would.
And then come to the team to beat him twice?
I don't
twice?
Think he would, but it terrifies me.
I think he would.
But you think he goes to the team that beat him twice?
Think yes. About, I mean, you got to think about like
because
this.
Because it
man.
Would be a fuck you to who? To the Patriots.
So here's my thing. Belichick doesn't care, right? What his thing is, he has zero emotional connection to anything. And that's what allows him to be such an amazing coach and allows him to run a team
amazingly.
Yeah. He is sociopathic in that way. So why would somebody with zero emotional connection all of a sudden make such an emotional decision as to go to the Giants?
Well, it's not like they're in bad shape.
I don't think it's that emotional, yeah.
No, he's going strictly to say fuck you to the Patriots.
Well, no,
he doesn't say fuck you because he doesn't feel the anger behind a fuck you.
What I think he's getting at is I think the reason why he's so mad that they forced him to trade Garoppolo is that he sees the end of the road for that team. You know what I mean? And I kind of feel like if I'm a Boston fan, like what if this is like the beginning of the end of that dynasty and like you had the perfect fucking, you know, what's the good word? The guy who comes up after you, like the perfect fucking successor.
Successor, yeah.
The perfect successor to the greatest quarterback. Thank you, Alex. The greatest quarterback you've ever had of all time, whatever. And he traded him away because of his ego. Like,
that was the beginning of the end, to be honest.
I don't
trading
know.
Garoppolo.
Yeah,
do
like,
you take Brady or Belichick?
Belichick.
Take Belichick, dog.
I hate it, and I love Brady.
Take
I think he's the world's foremost alpha, but I would take Belichick.
If he's the world's foremost alpha, why would he trade Garoppolo? That is the most beta move ever. That's saying this to your girlfriend. Don't talk to him. Is it not?
Yeah.
That's it. Don't
like,
talk to him.
Block him on Twitter.
Well, block him on Twitter. Block him. Yeah, your girl's like, I would never talk to him. I respect you. I don't trust you because I'm so
Kraft that made
intimidated.
Him do it. He wasn't going to do it. Kraft made him.
Brady is the world's foremost alpha.
Yeah.
His action to not trade.
Oh, 100%. I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It's like the insecure guy going, why are you block his number? Tell him not to talk to
you. Which is...
Have confidence your girl not going
to
suck his dick.
Which to me is like a sign that, okay, he is, I don't know, about 5 more great years from Brady. Maybe he feels vulnerable right now and he feels insecure in a way that like he kind of feels it slipping away maybe.
So Brady feels his own physicality.
Maybe. There's something that's not vintage Brady about that.
Yeah, not at all. You'd think that he wants the challenge.
Oh, he's fucking 40, dog. He's fucking 40.
Yeah.
Father Time is undefeated.
Yeah.
It may not be, it could be the next game. It could be next year. It could be in the offseason. But like, there's going to be a time where you don't got it no more, dude.
Fuck.
Like,
so
it's going to happen. And like, he's probably as much of a psychopath as Brady is.
Yeah.
Like, he's probably doing everything in his power to prevent that.
That's but the TB12 method.
Yeah.
For real. That's what it is. He got
masochism.
This fucking, what snake oil salesman, Guerrero, has got all these techniques because he thinks it's going to extend his career. Look, I don't know. I think there is something. What we got to do is we got to, give our best wishes to Julius Erving. I don't know if you guys heard this, but
no, what happened to Julius Erving?
He was at a Sixers game and he fell ill and he had to go to the hospital.
Oh, shit. We can't lose Dr. J.
Yeah.
That sucks.
And I think we all know where he went wrong.
Yeah, damn it.
We all know where this is going.
Which
God
is damn. Going to a Sixers game in Philadelphia. Okay, now if that Sixers game happened anywhere else in the world, do you think that same situation would have happened?
I don't think so, though. No. Damn.
Akash, absolutely not.
I just
you know
want...
why it did happen? Is because he was in Philadelphia.
When this becomes a mainstream thing.
Yeah.
I want Andrew to get credit as a friend.
Oh,
I
won't get credit.
He
you know
deserves
someone else
credit.
Will get fucking credit for my shit.
I want everybody who listens to this or Brilliant Idiots, when you start hearing about this in the mainstream media, because you will, because it's really fucking good.
It's a curse.
I'm jealous
it's
of how
curse.
Good this is.
How do people believe in ghosts? They don't believe the Philly's curse. There's way more facts to support the fact that Philly's curse. The guy was getting honored for his windmill dunk 35 years ago when they played the Lakers.
He filmed a documentary like 2 years ago. He could still dunk.
Yeah. He could still dunk. Now he couldn't even stand up when he goes into the Philly Arena. I don't know the name of the Philly Arena. I don't even want to say it because I feel like if I say it three times.
It's the boogeyman.
It's the boogeyman. Literally, Candyman is going to come out if you say wherever the fuck in the Philly Arena. What is the name of it? Does anybody
I think
know?
First Union Center. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's what it's called. Or Wells Fargo Center or something.
Wells
like
Fargo
that.
Center?
I think.
And what happened recently with Wells Fargo?
I could be super wrong. I don't know.
What happened? Were you going to, a little bank fraud happened recently with Wells
very
Fargo.
True.
All I'm saying is, and they got outed for some bank fraud. All I'm saying is you can trace everything back to Philadelphia.
Oh, God
everything
damn it.
Back to Philly. Philly has a game coming up. Do you think that they're going to win this game?
I don't know who they're playing.
Yeah.
They play that team.
I mean, oh, gosh, man.
No, who do they play?
I don't know. Fuck. A million games a year.
Am I the only one who's disappointed that they're still, like, fighting for the eighth seed, basically?
Nah, man.
I feel like they should be better.
No, I'm talking about football.
Oh, football. Eagles. Oh, the Eagles.
Eagles.
Oh, the Eagles.
Falcons.
Falcons.
Falcons. Falcons. Falcons. Yeah, Falcons. Falcons. Yeah, yeah. Falcons. Falcons.
I don't think the Eagles are going to win.
Of course they're not going to win.
I don't think they're going
to win. Do you know where they're playing it?
In Philly.
That's why they're not going to win. The worst thing that could have ever happened is home field advantage for the Philadelphia Eagles.
And there's no Carson Wentz. And well, the Falcons are looking. No
Andrew called it too. Unbelievable that I was.
Damn, dog.
I mean, he said it with complete confidence. Carson Wentz is going to get hurt.
I don't want it to happen. This is a God fearing man. Do you know what I mean? It's a God fearing
man. I hate the skills. Eagles, and he seems like such a good fucking guy.
Oh, he doesn't deserve it.
He's a good Tebow.
He's a good Tebow.
He really is.
He's everything we wanted Tebow
Never
to be.
Never made a B in his life.
Oh, my God. You know, he made a bad decision when he went to play for the Philadelphia Eagles. I think
should have went full Eli Manning. Like, no, I'm not playing for them, bro.
Nah,
I'm good.
No. Would you get drafted? You're the first pick of the draft. Mm. If I'm an NBA player, I would rather play for the Cleveland Browns than play for the Philadelphia Eagles. I would change sports before
well,
I play.
The expectations are lower, too.
Way lower.
All you got to do is win one game in Cleveland, and
you're a fucking star. That they win in Cleveland, you know how many babies are going to be made that night that will go fatherless the day that they actually win their first game?
Oof.
Oh, my gosh.
God bless. God. Anyway, our hearts and prayers going out to Julius Erving.
You know, I did read he was out at the hospital, so I guess
he was at the hospital. Yeah. Deadass, yeah. But he's okay. He's recovered. He's made good. Full recovery. And they sent him to a hospital in South Jersey.
Good move. Good move.
They took him out of the city to go to the hospital because they know.
The knowledge of the curse is saving people. You're saving lives, Schultz. You're saving lives.
That's all I've ever wanted to do.
You know, you're out here making the world a better place.
That's really all I've ever wanted to do. And I wish the best for Philadelphia. I really do.
The college football championship is tonight. Do we care?
No.
I'm going to watch it.
You care about football. You're big into football.
I mean, listen, I grew up in Texas. Boy, yeah, it's crazy.
It's surprising how much you know about football. And I think it's because you grew up in the culture
I went to massive... My school, they really cared about high school football, but I didn't really. Right. But then, like, after I graduated... My friend was from the country, and then he took me to a couple of, like, country-ass high school football games.
Sick.
And these motherfuckers, they live for this shit.
Yeah,
I mean, it's kind of sad, because it's fucking 15-year-olds that you're rooting for like it matters. But it's crazy. It's
screaming
like,
at kids with pimples?
Yo, right? And I judged it, and I still kind of judge it, because these are babies, and, like, you know, but they fucking live for football.
Yeah.
And in Dallas, you live for the Cowboys. I remember reading an article in 07 when they were really good on ESPN, page 2 or whatever they used to have, and it was talking about how strippers make way more money when the Cowboys are good.
I did read that story.
People are celebrating, the Cowboys are good, let's go to the strip club.
Yeah.
Like, the city lives for the Cowboys.
I wonder how much strippers care about making money. Because if they did care about making money, they would go out there and give some Oprah dick sucks to the opposing teams that come into Dallas to get those boys tired before they play the Cowboys. Think That's about a, that. If I, you're listen, a stripper, some I'm, blood sport. Remember when Homer got his dick sucked before the fight? The Kumite?
Yeah.
He got his dick sucked before the Kumite, and he had no energy to fight in the Kumite.
I agree. I think do whatever it takes to make the Cowboys good.
Out of you.
That you suck the testosterone out of them. Dead ass.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great idea.
Strippers in Dallas.
But
step it up.
Yeah, I grew up, you just love football. NBA really takes a backseat for me until the Super Bowl, and then I'm like, oh.
It's cool to see. Thank God, because I don't know jack shit.
But yeah,
I mean, I know enough to talk
about
the culture.
You guys know a shitload about basketball. It's insane.
Fair enough.
That's the balance.
Okay. So football, you mentioned that football ratings are down this year.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though.
Yeah, tell me.
They're down 9%, but all primetime viewership is also down 9%.
That's the question I was going to ask. People are making a big deal about this football ratings being down. If football ratings are down the exact same percentage that all ratings are down, they're not really down.
Yeah.
People are watching less TV on their TVs. Maybe they're catching clips of the game. Maybe they're doing these other things.
You got red
football
zone.
Football is
your
completely
phone.
Fine.
Yeah.
Nothing is affected. As long as Game of Thrones is being watched 9% less than Monday Night Football or whatever it is, then everything's okay. So we're making a big deal out of nothing. People... It's kind of sad to say, but people don't really care about the take a knee shit like they market it to. Because people are acting.
They care. Like, let's not.
Fam,
let's,
we like, made it seem like. Motherfuckers made it seem like we ain't watching. The 9% of people ain't watching football.
But
this,
like,
is one thing, though.
You understand the point I'm making.
I understand exactly the point you're making, but I will say this, to, like, I guess a counter to that point.
Yeah.
ratings in TV have been dropping for maybe a decade now. Live sports has always done well. Live events always rate well. People still watch the Golden Globes last night. I didn't because I think that shit is gross as fuck. But people still watch the Golden Globes. People still watch the NBA All-Star Game, the Super Bowl. Anything that you can tweet about and talk to your friends about in the moment, that's a societal thing, always does well. Advertisers still pay top dollar for that because nobody wants to TiVo that and then catch up to the rest of Twitter.
Yeah, I can't watch a game after it happens. Yeah.
So it is, even though it's in line with most primetime ratings, I still think it's a little disconcerting that it's down that much.
But our thing is, I think what really makes people concerned about it is the concurrent growth of the NBA, though.
And I also think
like
that's...
how much... I don't know if it's like, I haven't really checked the numbers, but I heard that the NBA like didn't beat the NFL, but came pretty damn close on Christmas.
Oh, NBA's taking over.
Like, and it's like, yeah, and it's trending upwards. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like, yeah, maybe those numbers in the NFL don't mean much, but it's not like, it's not trending anywhere.
Right. It's not going in the right direction.
It's not looking good. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's stable, I guess they'll survive.
Right.
But it's not like I'm looking at the NFL, I'm like, this is going to be around for 20 more years.
So this is a serious question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who gives better head? No. This is a serious question. You think about buying a franchise,
right?
It's a no-brainer. If you have the money to buy it, you just buy it because you can't lose money on a franchise.
Yeah.
The Carolina Panthers are up for sale, are going to be up for sale, right? If we think football might not be the same sport that it is now in 30 years, do you spend $2 billion on a franchise?
I still think people will. I don't know for how much longer, but right now the Panthers are going to sell for a shitload of money.
They will sell, but we have to consider the option that it could continue. Yes. And that's scary as an investment. I would buy any NBA team.
Anyone.
If I had the money, anyone, because I know where the league is safe. It's a great investment.
The cable
solid.
Deals, like that's the TV, it, everything like, dog, they're great. And
we
they're
might see
upwards.
The end of football, and do I want to put $2 billion? It's like buying a medallion for a taxi.
Mm. And then Uber comes
back
out.
In the day, Uber.
NBA Uber.
NBA's Uber.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Shit, soccer is Via.
I found this quote months ago,
because
I remember saying Mark Cuban predicted that football would fall.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking incredible
how
too many days off.
How prophetic this seems. He said this. This is a quote. I took it down. Just watch. Pigs get fat. Hogs get slaughtered. When you try to take it too far, people turn the other way. I'm just telling you, when you got a good thing and you get greedy, it always, 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 always turns on you. That's rule number one of business. He's saying that about the NFL, putting games on Thursday and Saturday and Monday and Sunday.
Yeah.
And he's just said it. These guys are getting too greedy. Mm. This is years ago he had this quote. I wish I wrote down what year. Like 3 years ago when football was king.
Mm-hmm.
Pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered.
That's a hell of a quote. That's a bar. Man, see you, Mark Cuban.
I'd love to say that to a thick girl before I hit.
Prepare to get slaughtered, baby.
Hey, girl, what's up? Pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. What? End over.
Really brings it out of him, I guess.
She bends over, just falls.
You know what's hilarious is we started this podcast with a phone call from Andrew to both our moms.
Yeah.
And then after that, he talked about Oprah getting given head for 20 straight minutes. And then just talked about fucking a fat bitch and calling her a hog.
I'm just saying, if she was cool with it.
Yeah. No, for sure.
You know what I mean? Just get fat, hogs get small. That'd be dope if a girl said that to you if you were fat.
Like, for some reason, like, that just sounds fire coming from anybody. Like, if a chef comes up to you and is like, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered, I'm like, this meal's about to be awesome, dog.
What if, we assume everything's so fucking sexist. What if a girl, before she sucked your dick, she pulls your dick out and she goes, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. And then she starts sucking your dick, you'd be like, yo, this girl's the best girl ever. But if you say something towards a girl, oh, this must have a sexist undertone. These guys are such misogynists. No, not at all. It's just a dope bar to say. And it's even more dope if a girl is more pig-shaped. That's all I'm trying to say. Jesus Christ. What kind of world do we live in?
Oh, fucking nuts.
Yo, is Kawhi Leonard not built for it anymore?
Oh, damn.
We gotta start asking ourselves this, man. It's a scary thing.
I'm a big fan of Kawhi Leonard. I don't know, man.
So,
for everybody
Kawhi
who doesn't know,
ass,
Kawhi, Pop just said that Kawhi has a small tear in his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Bathroom, Akash?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, a small tear in his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
just coming off this quad injury that wasn't like a regular quad injury. It was like some like
the motherfucker could not walk at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, his thigh muscle, right? Yeah. Like a bad thing.
It was really bad, yeah.
So now he has his torn shoulder.
And he was already on a minutes restriction. Like, he wasn't even off that shit yet.
And obviously the ankle injury, which was random.
Yeah.
That was more random. But are we starting to, is this bad luck and coincidence, or are we starting to see an elite player's body not hold up to the task of playing basketball?
I don't know. I mean, I think this is just classic Pop. I think this is classic Pop. Like, you know,
conspiratorial
what?
Today, bro.
Bro, like, I'm
coming through hot.
The brain has been thinking a lot lately.
Let's go. Talk to me. Talk to me.
Nah, I just think this is classic Pop, man. Like, the Spurs are just fine. I think they're third in the league right now. I think they're like 28 and like 12 or something. Right. The same Spurs shit that they do every year when nobody's talking about them. You look exactly. up, they're like the second best record in the league, and yeah. they're not even fucking, you know, it's like they don't need Kawhi now. You know what I mean? It's January. The eye on the prize is taking down those motherfuckers in Oakland.
That's
we
it.
Don't need him now.
Yeah.
You get yourself right. If you ask a lot of people, they say if Kawhi was healthy last year, maybe Golden State, they give Golden State a fight. You know what I'm saying? Like that first game, they were beating the brakes off the Warriors. A freak injury.
Bullying them.
And then the rest is history.
Yep.
So it's like, we don't need Kawhi to win MVP. We don't need him to win another Defensive Player of the Year. We need Kawhi in May and June.
Yeah.
And I think Pop sees that. The first sign that he saw him being a little dinged up or nothing, he's like, nope.
Bye. On the bench. Relax, fam. We need
you. Let Rudy Gay handle this. You know what I mean? Like, they got a squad. Like, they got that Spurs. They're very Patriot-like.
I was about
like,
to say that. They are built like the Patriots. They got the system, and they got people to fill it, even if injuries happen.
Yeah. No, yeah. I just think this is classic Pop doing what he does, man. Like, he's putting his best prize possession on ice for any little thing, because the last thing he wants is to go and win 69 games like they did last year and have fucking Zaza Pachulia fall on you again. Facts. And then you're out for the final.
You know what,
and
that's I noticed about Kawhi? And this is interesting. Is it... I mean, I love Kawhi. I'm a huge fan.
Huge fan of Kawhi. Me too.
No ISO moves.
Nah.
It is interesting. Like, off the dribble, I should say. He can back you up. He can do a little, you know, fade away or something like that. But he has no, like, in and out cross. I've never seen him cross someone over. Never seen him spin move on someone. He either bullies you, elevates over you, and hits. Maybe hits you with, like, a little hezzy and pull up. But he doesn't have that, I'm going to break you down like a Steph, like a Kyrie, like an Iverson, like a Kobe.
Honestly... I think his offensive game is very Kobe-like.
Kobe could get
he
separation.
He could cross you.
He not
could
crossing. Cross you.
I personally think he's blessed with less offensive skill than any other superstar.
But not, here's
Explain
the thing.
That statement.
Like, he doesn't have a lot of God-given offensive skill, I don't think. I think he worked for every ounce of offensive skill
they
that
sent
he has.
Him to,
whereas Kobe is one of the most blessed offensive players
They sent
ever.
Him to English. But, I think the name is somebody English. He's the shooting coach. He's the guy who's like, who fixes everything.
I think he was supposed to be, and I think Jimmy Butler, his first couple years, I thought he was going to be like this shutdown defensive, maybe 3-and-D guys, the ceiling. And then both of them ended up elevating their offensive games.
I just want to get right back to this and saying, but just about Jimmy. Jimmy is a full man.
Yeah.
Like, the dude came into Minnesota, and he was averaging like 10, 12 points for your first few games. Mm-hmm. And he let everybody get their buckets, and he was just so goddamn fucking alpha. He just waited it out, and now he's dropping 20, 24, 25. Yes. And but it's like, to have that confidence of, oh, I'm going to get my buckets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When it comes to the end of the game, you know who we're going to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
To the point where Cat was upset that he wasn't getting enough touches.
Cat's got to bow down, though. Not for nothing. Like, he's still a young pup.
He's still a young,
Jimmy,
young pup.
You
got to
take, advantage of Jimmy Butler's prime right now. Like, as good as Cat is, I still don't think we've seen his ceiling yet. And it's like, bro, you gotta ride with the dog that's in his prime now, and that's Jimmy Butler.
Hey,
but
all
my
right.
point
but
to,
back to Kawhi.
My point to Kawhi. I think his skill isn't like crossing people over. He has amazing footwork.
Incredible. Kobe-esque footwork.
He just doesn't have the
I'm going to shift you away with my dribble thing that Kobe. Kobe could cross the shit out of you.
Yeah.
I've never seen him cross anybody up.
Nah.
But he'll get in positions to score.
He gains amazing separation. He never looks like he's out of control.
Or
off balance.
Yeah.
Like, he has such fucking freakishly long hands that look like you can't rip him.
Nah,
so
it.
it's like he's fucking dribbling an orange.
Yeah.
Like an actual orange or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, he just has such control. Like, he plays with such control.
Yeah.
Like, control. Like, dog. Like, that is a guy that you want I don't know his plus minus off the top of my head, but like I can't imagine him ever being like in the negatives, like ever. You know what I'm saying? Like he's gonna lock down your best player.
Yeah,
he's gonna score on your best defender. And like, what else can you? What else do you want from your top dude?
I don't think it would have been sustainable. Game one against Golden State before he got injured was a clinic.
Yeah, yeah, he was destroying them.
KD wasn't really getting off.
Well, that's the thing. Now you got somebody who can hold down. So here's the thing. Danny Green can chase around Clay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're built pretty well. Danny Green can chase around Clay.
Who's Steph?
Steph does what he does.
Yeah.
It's almost not even worth... there's nobody that's going to be able to limit him at all besides Dellavedova. Yeah. So you might as well just let him get his buckets. Obviously not Dellavedova. But joking. But Danny Green can at least chase around Clay. So you have somebody that has similar length and size, and he'll just be there. But nobody in the league besides maybe two or three people can affect KD.
Mm.
And Kawhi is one of them.
He's one of them, yeah.
So you let Steph go off. You hope to contain Steph.
Mm.
But you shut down these other guys. And look, say what you want about KD. I mean, he's an amazing offensive player. He's unbelievable. But I think he is stoppable with a guy like Kawhi. I don't think Steph is.
I don't want to say stoppable. I think you can offset what KD does.
Fair enough.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you can't game plan for Steph.
Yeah.
You can't game plan for your point guard bringing up the ball and pulling up from 40, and that's a good shot for him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't game plan for him running a million screens off you and Draymond Green with his great basketball mind getting everybody in great positions to score. Like, you can't game plan for that. You can game plan for a lot of what KD does because as good, as amazing as he is, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can offset it. You can at least score as much as he can or at least slow him down a little bit. And that's what Kawhi does. That's what LeBron used to do. I don't think he could really guard KD like he used to anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would probably throw Giannis in there. Like, Giannis could probably go with KD, but he just doesn't. The Bucks don't just have, they don't have the firepower to match up with the Warriors, and nobody really thinks about that. Yeah, but just like guy for guy, you know, I think he could go one on one with KD.
Yeah.
But Kawhi has the firepower. The Spurs have the firepower. They have the coach. Like, they have, they're the one team that have certain clear advantages over the Warriors.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's other teams where it's like, the Rockets are good, but like, are you really picking them over the Warriors in a seven-game series? No, not really.
I just don't think they're capable of defending well enough. You're not going to stop the Warriors, but you got to limit something.
Yeah.
And the Rockets' approach is, we're just going to outscore you. And you're not going to outscore them. I'm sorry.
You could get a puncher. You're a boxing guy. You could give somebody a puncher's chance. If you throw a bunch of punches and maybe one of them hits.
They'll win a game.
I don't think they have a punch. I think the teams that have a puncher's chance are the Spurs and, weirdly, the Thunder.
Yeah.
I still think the Thunder have a puncher's chance.
Well, the Thunder
play defense. Yeah.
Thunder play D. They kind of match up weirdly well. Russ and Steph, nothing in the realm offensively, but Roberson can kind of check.
They got homeboy now, the rookie.
Paul is going to chase KD.
And Paul George is going to chase KD. Who's the rookie?
Was it Ferguson? The kid that was like dunking all over the Lakers a couple nights ago? Kid Ferguson?
Oh, I don't know if he's a rookie or second year,
but that boy could play. And he's a clear upgrade over Andre Roberson.
Let us just say that Melo is doing exactly what
We've all been saying
that he should do for the last 10 years, what Phil wanted him to do, what everybody wanted him to do, which is standing in the fucking corner and just shooting the ball. And I think we've said this before. I don't know if we were even on the podcast, but if Melo doesn't dribble, I was talking to my buddy Jamil about it, but if Melo doesn't dribble until there's 5 seconds left in the fourth quarter, if that's the only time he dribbles the entire game is 5 seconds left, down by two, down by one, or game tied in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You have an elite team.
Okay.
The second he dribbles the ball, he automatically hurts your team.
Well, I think they're figuring out that he doesn't have to do that. I think he's figuring out that he doesn't have to
finally,
do
that years later. You but know what I mean, he could have like, saved himself a lot of shit talk from everybody in New York City. All I'm saying is all you got to do is come off screens, pull.
Yeah.
All you got to stay in a corner, pull. And it's mathematical. I was breaking this down. If you shoot 50, because what he does is he takes hard twos, right? So if you shoot 50% from two, right? And you take 10 shots, that's how many points?
10
points.
Yeah,
if you shoot 40% from three and you take 10 shots,
12.
That's 12 points. So you need to shoot 65%. You need to make 7 out of 10 twos to offset shooting 40% from three.
Yeah.
His game is mathematically incompatible with a high-scoring offense.
Because
he might shoot 50% from twos if layups are involved, but not those hard-hitting.
But you also have that the ultimate outlier in Russell Westbrook, where, like, Russell Westbrook's, like, the first player in the NBA that I've ever seen where he gets amazing stats, but to me, his stats really don't matter to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, his shooting stats.
Right.
Like, if Russell is, like, 2 for 30 in a game, he can still have a very good game and still possibly win you that game.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because he brings so much more. Like, he rebounds. He plays defense. Yeah. He'll get his teammates involved. And he's not afraid to miss shots, which is a, you know, it's a Kobe-like thing. It's like a Kobe-like mentality to have where it's like some people miss 4 or 5 shots and they lose their confidence.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they're like, all right, I'm not going to, you know, I'll start getting the other team involved. Like, no, if Russ thinks it's a good shot, he's still shooting it and he doesn't give a fuck. And he said he doesn't give a fuck.
I want Russ to get a championship so fucking
Me too, man.
As a fan. Me too. And I didn't like Russ for a long time until actually the series they lost to the Warriors. Everybody kept saying, Russ is playing differently. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. No, he's not. Mm-hmm. And he was. He's playing, he's still got his things that people don't like, and I get it, but he's playing smarter. He's passing the ball a little more.
That first finals that they went to with the when they went against the Heat, he was the only one who showed up.
Yeah.
KD was quiet. James Harden was a fucking ghost.
And we forget that
Russ balled the fuck out.
And we forget that when they lost to the Warriors, KD choked as well.
Yes.
I think his game 7 was good, but his game 5 and 6 were terrible statistic. Like, he shot like 40 shots in one game. Yeah. Crazy numbers.
Yeah.
Nobody blames KD for that. Yeah. They all throw it at Russ.
Yeah.
KD left. KD didn't leave because Russ. They lost because KD also choked.
Yeah.
So don't put it at Russ's feet and then leave.
Yeah. I mean, maybe someone make the argument that Russ took too many shots. And
I think KD took more in game 5, if not whatever.
Fuck. Who gives a fuck? at the end of the day, who gives a fuck? All right. I got to get out of here in 2 minutes, but you guys can keep going. But I just want to bring up one thing that I saw was interesting. LeBron was playing, I forget which team he was playing, but there was somebody in the stands in the front row who had a t-shirt and, they were playing Orlando.
They're playing Orlando.
And he had a t-shirt and it was LeBron's wife and LeBron's mom and LeBron's body, but with Aaron Gordon's face on it.
Mm.
So Aaron Gordon, obviously the power forward for Orlando Magic. Right. Made great improvements. Shout out to Aaron Gordon. So
looks a little like Delonte.
A little. Them light skin motherfuckers. Them light skin motherfuckers slide in. Let's go. So we got to get Delonte on a podcast.
Oh, fuck.
He ain't doing shit. Let's get him.
Let's find this
Check
man.
His bag before. I don't want to shot him.
For sure. We need metal detectors. Wherever
Real talk. But anyway, so the guys in the front row are wearing this shirt. Now, and it brought up an interesting, I think an interesting question, which is how much can the fans disrespect the players without, one, the players saying anything back? Because we know if the players say anything back to fans, they can be fined.
Mm-hmm.
So what is this relationship? Are they there just to get cursed at, these players? Is there a line that is drawn in what you can say or do to a certain player? Because I don't think players should be able to act out aggressively, but I also don't think that you should be able to disrespect a player's family like that. That's a little extra.
I mean, here's the thing.
No.
No, 100% agree.
I agree. But at the same time, I just think the athletes should be allowed to just say something back. Like, they should be able to acknowledge it. Because the fans, all they're doing, and I
but
guess
they
that's,
want the acknowledgement. That's the problem.
That's on the Amway Arena staff to be like, hey, like, that shirt's inappropriate. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like, they weren't doing nothing explicit, but it's like, all right, that's a little.
So here's the thing. If it was a true free market, right, you'd let the fans do whatever the fuck they want, but then you'd also let the players do what the fuck they want. And then you'd have another, what is it, Malice at the Palace?
Well, no.
What is that called?
See, that's the other thing. Malice at the Palace.
So if you had another Malice at the Palace, you know who's not going to talk any more shit? Everybody that was at the Palace.
Yeah, real talk.
Because that's what a free market does.
Yeah.
It goes, you're going to... It regulates itself. It's like hockey. Hockey, you don't have dirty players because they get knocked the fuck out.
Yeah.
So what you have to do is make a decision. If the players can't say anything to the people in the stands, you have to also punish people in the stands for disrespecting the players. It's just unfair. If you're going to regulate one side, you got to regulate the other side.
I hate this idea that fans can get away with anything because they're fans.
It's
or whatever.
Stupid.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Mm. That being said, if I paid $4,000 for a ticket, I'm talking all the shit about somebody.
There's
mama.
Lines, though. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? You
but
would
that's,
do it
within... Yeah, I mean, there's lines to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm not
but...
talking about people. I'm going to talk about Jose Calderon being slow and how I can yeah. bust his ass.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to talk about his family.
Yeah, you a bum.
You
not
a bum.
Your mom is yeah. so-and-so.
You slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, this dude is fucking your wife.
Yo, that is just...
That's crazy.
Wild to say
that's
to somebody.
Crazy.
Too much.
And they feel too safe.
Yeah.
If they fit, you know what it is? And I disagree. I'm not even going to bring it up. But it's they feel too safe. That's what it is. They feel way too
text
safe.
Text me later.
Yeah, I'll text you later.
I bet.
Anyway, my Uber hopefully coming.
Yo,
I love you guys.
Shouts to Andrew for... He's late. He's late as fuck so to this. Nice. Not only is he late to his pregame stretches and dribbles, he's going to be late to the game.
Oh, jeez. You got to hurry up, man.
I got to hurry up, son, because I'm not be coming off the bench.
All right, man. Go get it.
All right, bro.
Let's keep talking.
Yeah,
yes,
for sure.
Yeah, let's get this into it. But yeah, nah, man. Like, if you're a fan, you know what I mean? Like, you should be able to, like, say whatever you want, but, like, within reason. You know what I mean? Because rewind a couple months earlier, when that fan is, like, screaming at LeBron James or whatever, and LeBron screams back at him, is like, yo, is that your girlfriend over there? He's like,
yeah,
you should be ashamed.
So
you a bum. And like, all right, you got what you wanted. You got the attention, and now LeBron's going to fucking embarrass you, and it's going to be all over ESPN and
that's,
SportsCenter.
I thought that was dope.
That's
I don't
justice.
Like, I don't
justice.
Like when we act like players can't do anything back. Then they're just yeah. getting bullied.
Yeah.
And we're the ones that pay all of our money to watch these dudes do stuff, and then you just can sit here and, I don't know, I just don't like it.
I just don't understand, like, why you spend that much money to, like, heckling, fine, say what you want, fine, like, within reason, like, somebody should be able to call you a bum, you suck, you can't do this, you can't do this. Like, anything that has to do with what's going on
yes.
on the courts
yes.
should be fair game. Like,
yes.
all these people that are just like, oh, man, like, you know, you got to call. Like, if you're 0 for 10, I could call you anything under the sun that refers to you going 0 for 10.
Hell yeah. You deserve it.
Because you deserve it. But, like, having, like, mom and wife and come on, son. Like, that's...
You're coming to this dude's job, heckle him about his job.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make it some personal shit. I think Steve Kerr was saying in college, his dad was killed in wars like a POW, and people were like making fun of that, something crazy like
wow.
that. People don't give a fuck, man.
Wow.
Fans go too far. And that's why when Kyrie screams, suck my dick to a fan, or Ron Artest runs up in there because someone throws a beer in his face, I'm like, yo, good.
Listen, Kyrie telling that fan to suck his dick was the greatest thing to happen to the Celtics season this year.
I'm
man.
Telling you.
They went like 14-0 after that.
Cass has been calling for 30 for 30 about the suck my dick moment since it happened.
It saved the season. They had just lost Gordon Hayward. His
yeah.
had a freakish injury. They were like 1-4 or whatever. And it's like, oh, Kyrie, where's LeBron? LeBron and Kyrie say, yo, suck my dick. And they won 14 games straight.
Yeah, it's and then the he proved to this guy why he should suck his dick.
Yeah.
You
I
should
mean,
be
hey,
a huge fan.
Sometimes you got to tell a fan to suck my dick.
Speaking of this, though, this is actually a perfect time to ask you. IT is back, and we haven't spoken about it yet.
Well, yeah.
He's back, and he's played two games, and he's put up good numbers.
He's looked damn good in those games, man. Like, I'm surprised at how well he's fit in.
I thought it would take games, but
yeah.
it hasn't seemed to.
He fit right in. You know why? Because LeBron thrives with guards with no conscience. You know what I'm saying? Because he's the primary playmaker.
Yeah.
LeBron's the point. He's really the point
he's
guard
the point.
When it
yeah.
when it goes comes all down to it. So like, and I said this early in the season, people thought I was crazy, whatever. I'm like, a healthy Cavs squad, like the way that team is constructed, I'm not ready to just close my eyes and say, yeah, Warriors got it.
See, I still think they would need, and I think about, I'm almost a LeBron stan at this point. I don't know how I 360'd on this man so hard. I was a massive stan, hated him his first 2 years in Miami, and then came
now
back
you're
around.
Back.
But I think about, like, what can they do with this? Like, almost like it's the Mavericks. Like, what can they do with this Brooklyn pick? What can they flip
yeah.
it to? What can they use? They have a first round pick of their own this year?
They have their own first round pick. And
what
they
can
have
they use that
pick?
For?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I still think they need another 3-and-D guy along with Crowder. Like, I think if they got Thomas, Crowder, and Avery Bradley, even though he already signed with the Pistons,
yeah.
I think that team would be better. And I think this team still might be better than the Kyrie Cavs.
Oh, no, I do think, I said this early in the season, people called me nuts, but I'm like, yo, I yeah. like the way, I'm not going to say like the record's going to be better or whatever like that, but I just like the way this team is constructed more than those past teams, just because of the depth. Like, Dwayne Wade's starting to get it as far as like being like the perfect, like off the bench scorer. You know, J.R. Smith obviously going to be do him. Tristan Thompson starting to come around. You know, and IT has looked like he's looked the part. Like, you know, like he hasn't had one of those big crazy IT games yet, but you could see it's coming. And this is the most, gosh, like this is like the most freedom he's had in the offense since what, Sacramento?
Yeah.
Where like he's not getting double teamed and like people aren't like he's never gonna see a double team here.
You can't.
Ever.
It's the dumbest thing in the world, the double team, Isaiah. Now let me ask you this. Is he as big of a defensive liability as everybody says?
Yes.
Okay, yes, then do you still start? This sounds insane maybe, but do you consider doing a mono thing with him and bringing him off the bench?
I mean, I would consider it if Dwayne Wade wasn't like doing really well off the bench and like, you know, being a pace controller and, you know, the way he scores. Like, I've never been a big fan of like how many points you score,
right,
but how you get your points, right, and how you contribute to the team makes all the difference. You know, so when it comes to IT, he's a spark that starting lineup needed.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. Like, I don't think he's needed on the bench as more as he's needed on the starting lineup. And because everybody, you know, obviously it's going to be LeBron when you're coming up with a defensive scheme to stop the Cavaliers or try to stop the Cavaliers. But LeBron's such a smart basketball player. Like, his scoring has never been the thing you got to stop with him.
Right.
You got to stop LeBron from getting everyone involved, because once that's happened, it's over.
Right.
Because by the time the fourth quarter hits and everybody's an option now, you're not guarding LeBron one-on-one. And he's just as effective in the fourth quarter and still has as much energy in fourth quarter that he does in the first quarter. So it's hard, man. Like, I like the way these Cavs are constructed. If Derrick Rose, like, is a semblance of his anything when he comes back.
I loved Derrick Rose. And my fear with Kawhi, which I meant to bring up when we were talking about it, I feared Kawhi could be another Derrick Rose situation.
Mm.
I don't think he will. The hope is that Pop is a completely different with his minutes distribution than Thibodeau was.
Yeah.
I think Thibodeau still,
obviously anybody's better with minutes than
Thibodeau. I think I still wouldn't hire Thibodeau for that reason.
Nah, he gave like a little day, like he played with like a spinal tap or something.
I mean, it's fucking like, crazy what he does to his players. It's crazy he hasn't seemed to learn.
Yeah.
But my point is I don't know. I don't think Derrick Rose is enough. I don't think he's coming back, and I still think they need one more defensive piece compete with the Warriors.
I mean, I think the trade deadline will bring something.
What would you think would be a good move?
Man, I was thinking about this the other day, and I'm only hoping it doesn't happen because I'm a Knicks fan, but like the perfect complimentary piece to that team would be like a Courtney Lee. Where like...
Oh, okay. Exactly.
3 and D.
Yeah.
Super savvy, gets his points where he can, but super effective. Like 14, I think he's averaging like 13 a game or something like that. He's he'd be a perfect player on that team.
It's funny we're both going to go with our hometown teams because I was thinking Wesley Matthews.
Another guy, yeah, perfect, you know, just lockup guy, knockdown shooter. Like, you got to get, if you want to play with Braun, you got to be a knockdown shooter. And on top of that, it's like, well, I feel like somebody's going to come, like, there's always those veterans that get picked up at the end of the year that get cut or released or somebody. So there's going to be, like, somebody and, like, is like, I think it could be Vince Carter.
You think Vince Carter can still play D, though?
Yeah. Like, it's like if you watch, like, they just beat the Cavs a couple days ago. And, like, Vince had, like, 20 points or something like that.
No, he had
like
a real throwback game. It was crazy.
A crazy throwback game. And it's like, yo, Vince could kind of still get it done. Like, last year, when he was on the free market and, like, he was still playing really well, I was like, man, I hope he goes to the Spurs. Like, I hope he goes to a team where he can get a championship and be a contributing player. Because he could still play really well. Like, in the right system, right situation, like, he's still a very effective player. If somehow the Kings find it in their heart to release him after the All-Star break and be like, hey, go sign where you want to sign with, if he ends up on the Cavs, watch out.
You think
out.
That's enough?
Watch out. I think he's the perfect guy, like the perfect veteran, you know, he only needs you for this stretch run. You're coming off the bench, you're doing all this type of shit. And this is ridiculous, by the way, the stat line. You lead the team in everything.
Not only does he lead the team in everything, there were two finals in a row where he led the Cavs and Warriors in everything.
In every step.
It is fucking unbelievable that anybody doesn't give him the credit of being the best player in the league.
Yeah.
Still, 15
years in, it's ridiculous. Like, it's mind-boggling that the only teams that have beaten him are all-time great teams. Like, yeah. Outside of, like, the Mavericks, maybe. That was his one blip on the radar. But, like, the teams that have beaten him in the finals are all-time great. All-time great.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing how he's still this effective this late in his career. He looks like he can go for another 10, to be honest.
Yeah, I hope he does.
I hope he does, too, man.
He's another dude I still root for, and I would still love to see him get another championship. And I don't know I still think they need one more piece. Yeah. To me, Vince Carter scares me just because you watch way more basketball than me, but he's in his 40s, and I just don't think...
He's defying age, bro.
At this point, they're not playing against the league. They're playing against the Warriors.
Yeah.
So maybe the Celtics, because the ass beating they took last week, I was a little disconcerted. It was a little disconcerting.
For me. I'm starting to lose a little faith in the Celtics, to be honest.
Really?
I'm starting to lose a little faith in them. I mean, I love what's his face? What's the rookie's name? Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
Love him.
Yeah.
Big Jaylen Brown fan. Love Kyrie. I think they're going to be good, but it's like the more you watch them, you're just like, they're not ready for playoff LeBron yet.
LeBron is so different. It's a whole different Bron.
You're asking these young kids, you're asking Jaylen Brown second year, Jason Tatum rookie year to guard playoff LeBron. You need to stop him from going to the finals.
Yeah.
That's a different beast than we're playing in October.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Next year will be crazy to see because they're probably going to have the number 2-3 overall pick
and Gordon Hayward.
And Jason Tatum in his second year and Jaylen Brown in his third year. Yeah. It's going to be fucking crazy. This year might not be. It might be a wrap. But I don't know. I still think they need one more piece of the Cavs. And in my mind, I'm always wondering what should they do? What should they shop this Brooklyn pick for?
I mean, people have been talking Anthony Davis.
If that's a possibility, if New Orleans would even consider that for a second, I would do that so fucking fast.
That's ridiculous. If New Orleans does this, then like that's when like I got to be David Stern and be like, yo, basketball rules, basketball reasons, this whole thing.
Listen, though, if you gave both firsts and Kevin Love, it's still not a good deal, but it's not the worst deal I've ever seen.
Because he's going to walk and you don't want to get
and
it
I don't
for
blame
nothing,
him for walking.
You know, so it's like it's crazy to me, man. Like, I don't know if they're going to get Boogie. I mean, if they're going to get Brow, but I've heard that. I've heard Paul George talks. I've heard a lot of people, but like, I don't think they're going to give up on Paul George because Thunder's starting to turn it around now. So I think that was like much more of a early season thing. And I don't know, man. I could really, really see them just holding on to that pick. And like, I think that's the bargaining chip for LeBron to stay, to be honest.
Yeah, I've been meaning to ask this. I think that is they need to get a fucking star for him.
Yeah, you either got a star or like the way this draft is setting up and how loaded it looks again.
Yeah.
Like as good as this draft class is right now, like you can get a Trae Young, you get a DeAndre Ayton.
I want to talk to you about Trae Young later.
Oh yeah, nah, Trae Young is the real fucking deal.
But I guess we just talk now. Is he going number one overall?
I don't think he goes number one simply because, you know, so, GMs is always scared to take guards number one that aren't mega athletic.
Because Steph Curry, it's like, that's what I'm saying. Him, but he changed the game for the foreseeable future.
Exactly.
To have the best player since the guy who changed the game.
Yeah, yeah.
How does he not go number one?
This is like the way the NBA is set up. There's no way Trae Young isn't, at the very least, a very good NBA player.
Yes.
Maybe he's a star. Maybe he's a superstar. But the way the league is just fun and gun, and you're not nobody unless you have like a guard that could do the things that he does so well. It's like, how do you not? Like,
I mean, him and LeBron on the floor at the same time would be unfair.
Ridiculous.
Unfair.
Ridiculous. Like, this guy has in the gym range like stuff. He has court vision. Like, he's pretty good athlete, you know what I mean? Like, and he's 19.
Well, let me ask you this about the Brooklyn pick, though, before leaving Trae Young real quick.
Yeah.
It's going to be a top 10 pick, probably.
Yeah.
But are there legitimately 10 really good players? Is it that deep of a draft?
It's looking pretty deep. There's Marvin Bagley out of Duke. There's Michael Porter Jr. if he gets healthy and does his thing. There's DeAndre Ayton. There's the big dude from Texas, name.
Yeah, he seems real raw. But there's that Lithuanian, whatever the fuck.
Luka Doncic, another who's a fucking beast as well. Like, I just named maybe 7, but I'm pretty sure, like, you know, Brooklyn, I don't think Brooklyn's going to be, I don't think that Brooklyn's pick is going to be, like, number 10. Like, it might be like 6, 7.
I keep watching them in the standings, like, assuming they're going to fall off. After D'Angelo Russell got hurt, I was like, all right, they're definitely. And they just don't. And
this Brooklyn's fun to watch.
Their coach is a great coach. I don't know who this guy is, but we need to give this guy
some Kenny Atkinson? No, Kenny Atkinson is he was allegedly the brainchild behind Linsanity. Like,
really?
That's why Jeremy Lin went to sign with him, like, when he became a head coach. You know what I'm saying? So, like, he used to be assistant coach for the Knicks when they had D'Antoni. We run the same system, you know, and that's what got Jeremy Lin popping. So, it's like, you know, Kenny Atkinson's a hell of a coach, man. And they compete. They got this kid, Spencer Dinwiddie or whatever from Brooklyn. Yeah. And he's like, I've never heard of him in my life. But every time I look up, it's like, I see his name on a box score. I see his name on, like, the ticker on ESPN, like, that he had, like, 20 points, 25 points. Like, and they don't get blown out. Like, right. They don't get slapped by anybody. They compete in every single game. So it's like, do you trade that pick? Like, do you think they're bad enough to keep it?
I don't. First of all, it's the most Dan Gilbert thing ever and the most Danny Ainge thing ever.
Yeah.
That they got, that the Celtics held onto the Sacramento LA pick and Gilbert got the Brooklyn pick.
Yeah.
Because it's just.
That's ridiculous.
It's going to be, the Sacramento pick is going to be a top three pick in this ridiculous class. Mm. But I would consider, you've got. Trae Young could be an all-time great. Any of these guys could be an all-time great. You definitively have an all-time great who's still playing at an all-time great level. So I would trade that pick if I could get another, like, superstar-type player or really top 10 player. I would trade that pick without thinking to keep LeBron.
Yeah, like, are you willing to give up five? Like, what you're asking yourself is, like, are you willing to give yourself five more years of LeBron to be, like, be patient with Marvin Bagley, be patient with Michael Porter, patient with these guys.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That makes sense.
I would trade for, if you get Anthony Davis, and that's the best the Pelicans can do, I would do that in a fucking heartbeat. Because they would still get, for, you know, a great player. Kevin Love, everybody else loves. I don't fucking get it.
But he fits.
He's just the weakest. How are you a power forward and you're that weak, though? I've seen him post up two guards. Yeah. He can't fucking move them.
Yeah.
I mean, wonder if he could move me in the post.
Bro, he lost a shit ton of weight, man.
He lost too much. He got too good looking.
He got too sexy, man.
Yeah, like, you can't get that sexy. You a power forward. You can't post up, dog. It's done.
Yo, like, I seen some meme on Twitter, but, like, probably Alex could pull it up. There's, like, a meme of, like, somebody put a four pictures of Kevin Love together. It's like, it's hard to believe this is all the same guy.
Right.
Like, there was, like, one of him with shaggy hair, one of him being super heavy at UCLA.
Yeah.
There's one of him being super skinny at in Cleveland. And, like, one of him in high school when he was, like, breaking backboards and shit. Like, he was, like, fucking baby Shaq.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, this is all the same guy?
Dog,
like,
I think he got too skinny.
Yeah.
He needs to be a little fatter. Post up a little bit. You don't got to run in LeBron's offense. You either camp out in the three or you go get rebounds. That's it. That's all you got to do.
Need that extra meat on your bones.
I would trade him for, if, I mean, the Paul George trade that almost happened would have been, I would have done that in a fucking second. That was, again, an amazing trade. Mm-hmm. Everybody keeps saying you don't give up Kevin Love. I would give up Kevin Love if there was a good piece.
Mm.
3-and-D guy, I'd consider giving him up right there.
But then that's another half a season of trying to fit in another superstar.
Chemistry issues are always a thing.
Yeah, yeah, but you know.
They finally seem to have figured it out, so I guess you can't do it now, but
I think so.
Yeah, I would.
Hold on to the pick, bet your future on another, hopefully you win the lottery and you move up and get in the top three or top one, and maybe you draft another LeBron James, another guy you could build your franchise around. When LeBron finally leaves,
I don't
goes to LA.
See why he would go to LA though. Everybody keeps saying he's gone. Why the Lakers? Someone please explain this to me logically.
I mean, people are saying like he has like a lot of businesses out there.
Who gives a fuck? He got two houses.
He has
out
a
there.
Home out there. Like his kid, like he's looking for schools out there and shit. So it's like people are like, oh. Like,
I don't understand the school thing. I from what I remember, he was just giving a talk at a school.
No, apparently he was like looking for schools for like his kids, like his who are like highly ranked basketball players in their own right. You know
I just
mean?
Don't to, get why, if you want championships and you're chasing the ghost of Jordan, like everybody says, if that's his foremost focus, the Lakers ain't ready, dog. Mm-mm. You're not taking out the Warriors.
No, I mean, I like Kuzma, but like you're not ready for that. And I guess if that's his goal, if his goal is to chase down the Warriors and eventually chase down Michael Jordan, yeah,
you're not doing it. I'm not saying you have to stay in Cleveland, but I don't think you're going to the Lakers.
Nah.
We talked once about like where else he could go. I don't know if you were here when we did that talk, but like what team, if you could put LeBron on any team, what team would you have him go? Just to say, all right, this is where he's going to fit the best, win the most, whatever.
Any team?
Yeah.
Man. San Antonio.
That's what I was thinking.
San Antonio or Houston?
San Antonio, just because I would love to see him with a great coach. Yeah. And Kawhi would be great for him also.
But that's the one thing. Like, you're talking about 3-and-D guys that he needs. Yeah. There's no better 3-and-D guy than Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi, Danny Green is great.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that team would be insane.
I would love to watch either for that reason or Houston just to see him in a free-flowing offense where he's not the entire offense.
Oh, that'd be fucking crazy, too.
Where he's not a quarterback. You know what I mean? Where you just watch LeBron just run up and down the court. Like in the early Miami days where it was just fun and gun, you know, like that was super fun. And like James Harden, Chris Paul, Anderson, Gordon.
But that team didn't have as brilliant of an offense as Mike D'Antoni can create.
No, not at all. But it was, you know, it was still kind of fun to watch. Bron get on his Magic Johnson shit and just really like run the show like that.
It'd be the exact same thing as KD going to Golden State to me though, where it's just like, you're just really going to the most loaded. Get out of my face.
Fucking wants that. I think Stephen A. Smith was like bugging on him about that. I was like, yo, we're really still talking about this? You're the best player in the world. Make it happen where you are. Like, we hate having to do the fucking, oh, where is he going this time?
Stephen A., he got a little weird personal thing with LeBron I can't figure out. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Drop it, dog.
It's weird. I think it's because of like, I actually think it's because of like, you know, LeBron has a weird thing with ESPN in general on First Take.
Really?
I think so. Like, LeBron doesn't really, like, he'll do it. Like, if you ever notice, like, LeBron, when he talks to ESPN, it's a very special sit down.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, somebody's
house. It's a Sunday conversation.
It's a Sunday conversation.
Always a Sunday conversation.
Like, you never just be like, yeah, LeBron's gonna be on First Take today. He's gonna be on SportsCenter.
But he's LeBron. Like, you don't have to. Maybe that's why Kyrie went to First Take, just as an extra exactly. fucking LeBron.
It was a super fucking. But, like, Brady will do SportsCenter. Like, Aaron Rodgers will do Sports. He'll do, like, Scott Van Pelt at night or some shit like that. But, like, LeBron's like, nah, I'm good. I'm straight. Like, I don't need y'all. Unless I'm sitting with, like, Rachel Nichols on a Sunday afternoon during, like Sunday mass and shit. Like, that's the only time he does it.
Rachel, people love Rachel Nichols. I think she's really good. Rachel Nichols
is amazing.
Everybody.
She's the shit. She's amazing at what she does.
I don't know what makes a journalist good, but funny Stephen A. story, actually. My my best friend wanted to be a sports writer before newspapers completely crumbled.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to this like journalism boot camp or some like weird shit they were doing.
Okay.
And I think it was in Philly. So they brought in Stephen A. Smith and he started grilling them. He's like, where did I go to college? And then nobody knew because he was fucking Stephen A. Smith and this was 10 years ago. And then he was like, if I was your boss, I would have all of you fired. You should know where you're something. And they were like, he was a surprise, first of all. So no one even knew he was coming.
Nobody knew you were
in.
Coming, motherfucker.
Second of all, you Stephen A. Smith. I don't give a fuck where you went to school, dog. You don't got a football card.
Oh,
you don't got a fucking rookie card with your stats on your back. Get the fuck out of my face. Yo,
that's crazy. I mean, not for nothing. Like, there's all right. Like, I could see why. Like, if you're a journalism student, which I was, I don't know what school Stephen A. Smith went to. But at the same time, it's like, why are you? What does that gain for me?
Yeah.
Like, if you're my boss, like I've had tons of bosses. I'd never know what any of them went to college.
I don't know where anyone. I don't know what anyone does for a living. If your job profession is more than one word, I don't know. If it's not doctor or lawyer, I don't know. Or athlete or comedian or actor, I'm just like, oh, I don't know. You speak in some other language to me.
That's crazy.
It's the same with journalists. I don't give a fuck where you went to school. Can you write well? Can you not? Are you eloquent? Are you not? It's real simple.
That's crazy.
Has anybody given a fuck where any journalist went to school?
I mean, like, I feel like there's like certain schools like Northwestern and
that's where
like,
my best friend went. So yeah. I know that's good. And I've heard exactly. Missouri is really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if you went to Northwestern, it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like you're legit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know. It's like playing football at the U.
In the dorkiest possible way.
Yeah. Oh man. I think you got time. Yeah, you want to wrap this up?
Yeah, let's wrap this up, buddy.
Yeah, man. Shout out to everybody supporting Flagrant 2. That's a show. I never really do the ending. Andrew usually does this thing.
Anything we want to plug?
So, yeah, we got a live show, Highline Ballroom, February 7th.
February 7th.
You know what I'm saying? We got a lot of special guests. Doors open at 6. Show starts at 8 o'clock. Get your tickets on highlineballroom.com, ticketweb.com, all that good stuff. Check out the Wrestle Rap Podcast and the MLW Radio Network on Saturdays, each and every Saturday, with my boy Emilio Sparks. And listen to me on Satori Radio each and every Monday through Friday from 9 to 12.
Kaz, the busiest dude in the industry.
Facts.
I also am only plugging the Flagrant 2 live show.
Yes, sir.
I may be out in LA at the end of the month. I'll let you guys know if I am. I'll let you know whatever shows I'm doing out there. But in the meantime, keep supporting the podcast, man. We appreciate everybody who listens. Come to the live show. Tell your friends about Flagrant 2. This is a fucking movement.
Yes, sir.
Let's make our fans an army. Yes, just sir. Like my radio station in Dallas I still listen to. And God bless y'all, man.
We need y'all to come out in full force for
full
verse 7,
force,
man.
Dog.
Like, let's make a statement.
Also, I just think it's funny. Let me point this out. Andrew was here and you were gone. We didn't talk a second about sports. Not a fucking second. Then, and I remember the same thing. I listened after I left once or twice early and you and Andrew sat down. Uh-huh. It's completely about sports.
Yeah.
You are the only thing holding this podcast together. Other than that, it would just be Andrew and me talking about nothing.
Shooting the shit.
In the most flagrant and controversial way possible and getting kicked off of everything immediately. God bless you, Kaz.
I really appreciate that, Akash. It really means a lot to me, man. So shout out to everybody who's supporting the show, and we will see you next week. Take it easy.
God bless.